And you're tuned to WMIC AM 660, 95.3 FM, and streaming online at sandlakebroadcasting.com. Click the Listen Live link on this Tuesday, August 27th, 2024. Welcome to Thumb Sports Line Tuesdays now. Moving it to Tuesdays, I am your co-host, Eddie Fury, along with the true host. I got to make sure you're off mute here. Mike Gallagher, Sand Lake County News sports writer, editor. How you doing, dude?
I'm good. How are you, buddy?
Great to have you back in the studio.
Yeah, man. It's been a while. Yeah.
Also, your sports director of Thumb Tailgaters Sports, live webcast, Jonathan Bisher, made the trip through a vicious storm to get here.
Yeah, that was wicked, Eddie. I only came for the pizza, for being honest, so thank you.
Yeah.
But the storm was not worth it. But I'm here, so we might as well talk some football.
Why not? It is the 2024 fall sports season. Of course, our main topic will be football. We will touch on some volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
Cross country, did that happen today or not?
It did not. No.
It did not.
Nope,
the storm.
They made a good call rescheduling the Brown City invite to tomorrow.
Yeah, and some say it was just too hot to practice.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been in situations like this where they would call it a black flag situation when I was in the Marines.
Yeah.
Well, only,
that was in the Middle East. That wasn't in...
Well, we had no choice. We had to
right.
fight. But during boot camp, a black flag would go up. There'd be a little bit of horn. The drill instructors, did they follow the rules? Heck no. We're in the sand burning our hands.
It's too hot for war today. We're gonna reschedule it for tomorrow.
As they're firing a scud at us.
Right.
Yeah. So, no. The heat can be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen some practices or even school.
Yeah.
But yesterday there were a lot of, I think practices went on a schedule. They just had to make sure they were keeping cool and mm-hmm. hydrated. So
yeah. I think a lot of schools practiced early in the morning yesterday trying to avoid that heat. They didn't have school yesterday.
Yeah.
Today was a different story. Then the storms came rolling through. Now you're stuck inside. A lot of different elements these last couple days.
Yeah, and I'm always curious why some schools don't have the AC Central. In some schools that it don't work or something. Do we not have enough funding to keep our kids cool?
I would imagine it would be incredibly expensive to cool a whole school. But
I had a certain superintendent come in here and try to promote to pass a bond to get that maybe installed in schools. We had that happen. Hopefully they can keep cool at school board meetings, maybe, and things will simmer down on that fact.
But I was wondering how you were going to work that in.
Somehow I would. But we're going to avoid that. What we will not avoid is the fact, of course, this show is going to help promote the Thumb Sports Writers Media Association out there. We just had a golf tournament this past summer.
Mm-hmm.
Was it in July?
July.
Yeah. A lot of fun doing that. I teamed up with Paul Adams, Ben Miller also, who can golf pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Adams, really good golfer. Me, I just showed up to drink some morning booze. And
Eddie was there to have fun and be social.
Yeah.
But I didn't do too much of it, really, because I had to golf again later that Thursday because of league with my father. So
You had to pace yourself with the booze.
Very. But it was a great, pretty good decent turnout after not having a golf tournament in quite some time. We're trying to raise funds to keep this, the trophies, the presentations for basketball and football going, especially. There's a lot of expenses involved with that. So, and pictures.
Of course, the TSA Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, are we going to let that out yet or not?
Hall of Fame's happening. What exactly is happening?
Yeah.
We're still trying to work out some kinks and stuff, but it is going to happen. We're hoping to have the first selection submitted here by the end of the year. And we'll go from there, but we got to lay down some foundation blocks first.
And Sand Lake Broadcasting Sports, a voting member, Mike Gallagher, the host here, also a voting member.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Bishop, Thumb Tailgaters Sports, a voting member as well. He actually put up the Thumb Sports Writers Association's Facebook page as well, if you want to check that out. Is there a web link, or is it just a Facebook?
Just a Facebook page is all it is. Player of the Weeks will be coming back next week for volleyball and 11-player football and 8-player football. So make sure you check on that, see who's ruling the thumb in the TSA.
And also our sports writers out there, the TSA is represented by some great publications. First of all, the Sand Lake County News comes out tomorrow. The sports preview comes out tomorrow.
Yep.
Very excited.
We got it all finished up yesterday. So
You did?
Yeah. Well, not me personally. No, no.
I thought you did everything there, Mike.
Shout out to Betty Pagel, the MVP of the Sanilac County News. She was working on building it all weekend.
There you go. There's your MVP right
and,
there.
Wrapped it up yesterday. We received preview forms back from, I believe, every single coach. There's a lot of information in
for
there.
For Sanilac County coverage, right?
Yeah. Yep, and it's all color, so all the team pictures will be in color, and, you know, people like that. I mean, that's basically what, you know, they just like seeing their kids and their grandkids and the team pictures and
right,
stuff. So.
Right, and you'll see our Sanilac Broadcasting ad in there somewhere. I put an ad in there.
Yeah, yep. I'm pretty sure your ad always ends up on the Deckerville page.
Does it somehow? I don't know why.
The Thumb Tailgater one, at least, yeah.
And we do have a Thumb Tailgater one for Huron County View. Their preview comes out Thursday.
Yep.
Tuscola County Advertiser Scott Bowlesby over there tomorrow will be out with his preview as well. Probably still currently working on it, right?
Well, yeah. It's tough for Scott because he has to do two different previews. His football preview came out last Saturday.
Okay.
And now this preview will be for all the other sports. So,
wow.
Lots of work. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess apparently I didn't check. I always think it's everybody comes out the same week, but
right,
no, he was
right.
A week early, huh?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
At least for the football, yeah.
Yeah. So practice has been going on here for the last couple weeks. There's been some little bit of changes as well. The Big Thumb Conference now is what it's called. No more Greater Thumb Conference, no more North Central Thumb League. It's called the Big Thumb Conference, and it's split up in color divisions.
I'm still getting used to the Big Thumb, and it's going to take me a little while just because, you know, we've had the NCTL for so long and the Greater Thumb Conference and such. So it's going to take us a little while to get used to, but I think it's pretty cool.
So we're going to talk about that because there's a lot of great dream matchups we always wanted to see, notably as Millington coming into the Big Thumb Conference. This has been talked about probably the last decade that Millington could come to the Greater Thumb Conference. Now it's the Big Thumb Conference. It's come true. We're going to see some pretty good, great dream matchups, or maybe teams that have been avoiding this team for quite some time finally going to play this team.
Yeah, we're going to see some new matchups. We still got some of the old matchups that everybody loves. You know, Ubley's still going to play Harbor Beach. Lakers is still going to play Cassidy. But you add in Millington and the conference realignment, there's going to be some interesting matchups that we haven't seen in quite a few years.
Yeah, so pretty excited. Our first week one coverage, we'll start off with eight-player football. Last year's state semifinalists, the Deckerville Eagles, got a lot coming back
this year. Yeah.
They are hosting what could be considered in the other division of eight-player football, the smaller division, the Bay City All-Saints Cougars, may be one of the top teams.
They're in Division One.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
They're in the smaller,
smaller division of the Big Thumb Conference, but they're in Division One for playoffs.
So they in Deckerville's where?
Division One.
Division One.
All Saints?
Division One.
Okay, so they could face off again, you know?
Yep. In the playoffs, yeah.
Yeah, so that's
All Saints, due to a co-op with Bay City Academy, is Division One come the playoffs.
Very cool. Yep. So that's something new here.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what's going on here. And, of course, the other big news is Brown City, not able to qualify for the playoffs, but they can try to lead to win league title, you know? But, you know, that's still playoff points. You know, for other teams, right?
You would still get playoff, but
All right, so we're going to take a quick break here so Jonathan can wolf down his meal here.
And Mike.
We'll also touch on volleyball here because competitive play has started since last weekend, I do believe.
Yes, it has,
And cross country started last week as well, so they're out there running right now. Not today, though.
No.
So, yeah. We'll be right back here, folks. It is Sportsline on WMIC AM 660. 95.3 FM. We do believe we're going to have Sandusky head coach Ryan Palmer in the studio as well. Live in the studio, the new head coach of the Sandusky Wolves.
Yeah, he'll have a lot of exciting stuff to talk about. Yeah. All three of us actually saw Sandusky scrimmage in the preseason, and a little bit of a different look for Sandusky football.
All right, we'll be right back here on Thumb Sportsline now on Tuesdays. Now on Tuesdays, 5:30 p.m. here on WMIC. Oh, no, don't brown out. Power.
Yeah.
AM 660, 95.3 FM is streaming online at sanilacbroadcasting.com. We'll be right back.
Your friends at Liberty Lane say, come on down and join our team.
Let's go bowling!
Register now for a fall bowling league. There are openings on ladies' leagues for Wednesday morning and evening, men's leagues on Tuesday and Wednesday evenings, and mixed leagues on Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday evenings. Beginners are welcome. Just stop in or call 810-648-9860. Also, openings on the waitstaff, so apply now.
Let's go, Bullies!
Liberty Lanes, West Park, Sandusky. The Thumb Area's top choice for great bowling for 45 years.
Denny King, the King of Cars, here with more Motors in Caro. If you're looking to get a no-nonsense deal on a new Ford, Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, or Jeep, you need to come see me, Denny King, the King of Cars, and more motor sales in Caro.
Denny King, the King of Cars.
Here at More Motors of Caro, we give fair trade-in value and transparent pricing.
Denny King, the King of Cars.
Whether you're looking for a new car, truck, or SUV, I'm proud to offer the best deal possible for every customer who comes through our doors. No games, no gimmicks, just the facts and the real deal. Here at More Motor Sales in Caro.
Denny King, the King of Cars.
Don't waste your time showing up to other dealers who offer unrealistic deals and false promises. Come see me, Denny King, the King of Cars, at More Motor Sales of Caro.
Denny King, the King of Cars.
I'm Denny King, the King of Cars. I earned my title by taking care of every one of my customers here at More Motors and for the last 30 years. So come see me, Denny King, and see why your friends and neighbors are driving to Caro.
All right, welcome back to Thumb Sports Line, now on Tuesdays. And this first half hour, as we get ready to break for that news in about 8 minutes, we'll be kind of focusing, Mike, here, is what we'll do, a gloss over volleyball across country or any special news that has to be noted. Cheer. Does it take place during this part of this? No?
There is cheer, but not the competitive cheer.
Okay, I was just curious about that. What other sports happens during the fall?
Well, we have girls golf at Sandusky now, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We have boys tennis at Croslex and Sandusky. The Sandusky boys team has quite a few girls on the team this year, so that's kind of cool.
They need to bring pickleball into play now. Come on.
It would be easier to play than tennis, at least.
Now, I understand that the state is trying out high school boys volleyball, too.
Yes. Yep. It has been approved, and... Yeah. I actually saw the other day that Yale will be having a team this spring. It's in the spring season, right?
Yes, it is a spring sport. Yeah, was that when I was in high school? I would have loved to play that.
Jop is pretty good. He loves playing the sand volleyball tournament.
Yeah, and he wasn't very good at baseball either. So
you're not wrong.
It would have been
I was on a good team, but I was carried.
And then, of course, cross country has already started.
Yep.
Who do the teams that look at or runners that we should focus on here, especially in the Thumb or St. Lake County area?
So last Thursday, every single year, the, first big event of the year for cross country in St. Lake County is the Mike Jackson Memorial Invitational in Croswell, named for the, former coach there.
I love the album Thriller, by the way. So
okay.
Wrong Mike Jackson.
Oh, okay.
Eva Thompson, she's a senior. Last year, she broke the school record for cross country, which, at Croslex, the girls' cross country program has a lot of history, a lot of great runners. So to be, the best runner in that program really says a lot. So she started off her senior season by winning the Mike Jackson Memorial Invitational. This is the third year in a row that she has won the race. And, the race always features some really big teams and some great runners. So she's definitely going to be one to watch out for. Sandusky boys and girls, hopefully covering them tomorrow. If we don't have weather like this, they'll be at the Cass City Invitational. They have some pretty good numbers. Legendary, head coach Wayne Roberts has retired, so Aaron Seiferlein taking over the program, and it looks like he's got some pretty good numbers. Mackenzie Krieger will be running again this year, and she was an all-state runner as a sophomore, interested to see how she does. Brown City, always pretty solid. Marlette, they haven't ran yet. They were supposed to run today, actually, but Foster Finley's done a great job with that program there, so... they should have a pretty good season as well.
Yeah, and of course, so one of my favorite meets is near the end of the season in Caro. They do it in that big, I don't know where it's at. Is it the golf course?
The Thumb
Meet of Champs, isn't it?
No, that's the for track. It's basically the meet of
the champs, cross country version.
Yeah, but it's like the thumb championship meet or something.
So. Yeah, and then Wagner Park's another favorite.
Wagner
that people
Park
love
is
that
the
place.
Best one.
Wagner Park is a great course, and of course, it's home to probably one of the best runners in the area, and Brody Carg from Harbor Beach. Mm-hmm. You know, he might be the top runner in the area. He's got a good chance qualified for states, and of course, Ubley's under a historic program with Garrett Jurgis. I mean, other than that, Mike, you hit it on the head. There's, I mean, cross-country teams, you never know who can come from anywhere and all of a sudden burst onto a scene.
Yeah, yeah.
So my youngest daughter graduated.
Yep.
She is starting to get back in shape. She's starting to heal up from her past injuries. She attends SC4 now. Mm-hmm. She's thinking about next year joining the cross-country team. She's been
that'd be great.
Running at SC4 there. And I said, are you kidding me?
That would be
You're
awesome.
So out of shape. She goes, that's why I'm running right now, Dad. It's like, all right. I said, this is where...
That's when you respond with round is a shape.
I said, this is where it kind of leaps, you know, you going up a huge notch there, you know, at this point. But it is community college, but they got competitive runners. And I'm really, it's really neat that some of these community colleges and junior colleges really bringing in a lot of sports more and more each year. They even have a video
Can
game
we get
team.
Delta or SC4 to bring in football?
You know,
just
be a funnel for thumb football.
Or hockey, too, you know. Yeah. You know, you would figure SC4, Poirion, in a home of hockey.
Yeah, yeah, that's a valid point. SC4 should have hockey.
Yeah. SC4, they actually, they are starting a men's soccer team this year.
Yep. It's a beautiful field, by the way.
Yes,
it's just off the river there towards Marysville, I believe.
Yep.
St. Clair, right?
But the cross-country coach there, she's actually recruited quite a few kids from the thumb.
Yeah.
There's actually Lily Lemansky. She's from Marlette. She's on the team this year, as well as a couple of kids from Croswell. So,
volleyball just started. Real quick, who are the top teams we got to look out for in volleyball?
Yeah, it's going to be a kind of a rebuilding year for some teams.
Yeah.
I'll be covering Marlette and Peck tonight.
Okay.
Obviously, Marlette. They, you know, won the regional title last year, made it all the way to the quarterfinals, you know, Greater Thumb East champions. But they're losing quite a bit. You know, me and Scott, we went to the, team photos the other day at Marlette and, didn't recognize a lot of the volleyball players. they had a great senior group last year. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of kids stepping into some new roles. But they did have Abby Rowling last year as a freshman. She was a great blocker in the middle there. And she's going to have to be more of an offensive player for Marlette this year. But, you know, for Peck, they're kind of on the opposite. You know, they return basically everybody. They have a great senior class. First team all-league setter Kendra Kozel will be back. Riley Uriel, Ava Collins. So Peck has, you know, a chance to make some noise this year. And then looking at Brown City last year, you know, returning to, you know, prominence in the playoffs, you know, after I believe they won 9 districts in a row before finally losing to Marlette. But last year, you know, they come back, win that district, make it into the regional. I think they're probably the favorite in their conference. You know, and that's just, you know, has a lot to do with Coach Jenna Welke and, you know, the program that she's built there. Croslex, they are losing, you know, two players that set school records and, Riley Robertson, the libero. She set the school record for aces and serve receptions. And then, Annalise Weider, the setter, she set the record for assists. And then you throw in Bella Edwards, who had over 1,000 kills last year, in her career. You know, Croslex is going to have a little bit of rebuilding to do. But, you know, same thing. They have a great coach in Ryan Wilson. You know, they'll be able to figure things out. But, BWAC volleyball is going to be insane this year.
Yeah.
It's,
Emily City was pretty good last year, too.
Emily City was pretty good last
North
year.
North Branch. What'd they do last year? They won a state title.
Yeah.
Richmond's supposed to be pretty good, too.
Richmond should be pretty good. So it'll, you know, Croslex, it'll take them just maybe kind of a little bit of time to figure things out, but, you know, they'll be fine. So
overall in the BWAC, though, North Branch is the team to be, right?
North Branch, since joining the BWAC, has not lost a game in BWAC play. So until they lose a game, yeah. I
mean, they're your favorite till somebody beats
right.
them.
And then coming into the mix is Millington girls volleyball in the Big Thumb, right? Would they be playing in this?
They'd be playing in the Big Thumb with pretty much with the which is the Greater Thumb West, Lakers, Cass City, USA, Vassar, Reese, and Caro, and then you got Ubley's in Harbor Beach are in with Brown City and Marlette and Memphis.
Yeah. Basically, the divisions are what they were.
The only division that really changed in the Big Thumb Conference was football. Mm-hmm. Everything else is the same, just adding Millington to the Greater Thumb West and rename it the White Division.
And I have to be attending a few Deckerville volleyball games due to Libby the intern requesting that I start attending a volleyball game every once in a while. Okay. So we might see her
You'll
come
have
Thursday.
To go broadcast too, maybe. Have you ever called volleyball?
She's put me on the spot. Yeah.
Okay.
I go, well, so what? Three times hit, right?
Bump, set, spike.
Bump, set, spike, yeah.
So, I could do volleyball. My mom coached for many years. I got enough terminology in the bag.
So, yeah, we could try that. And plus, you play. So
Yeah enough.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take our news break. These guys want to wolf down some good food here. We want to thank M3 Wireless now jumping on board for Sportsline. They just requested to be on Sportsline for the whole season as of today, just a few minutes away ago. And then also on all football games also with our coverage. Our game of the week for high school football, eight-player football, Bay City All Saints at Deckerville this Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Tune in for that. We'll be right back after our 6 p.m. news break here on Thumb Sports Line. I'm Eddie Fury, Mike Gallagher. That's Jonathan Fisher from Thumb Tailgater Sports. We'll be right back.
All across the Thumb and Blue Water area, there's one propane supplier that's ready to serve you. It's Kohler Propane, with locations in Brown City, Memphis, and Bad Axe. Kohler Propane, where they strive to keep your fuel bill down and provide you with the best possible service. They guarantee their propane prices for one full year. There's free tank inspection and free safety inspection, plus keep full and budget plans are available. If you are not a current Kohler customer, now's the time to make the switch and call Kohler's. Whether it's propane for your home's heating system or for your farm or business, they're ready to serve you. Remember, Kohler's covers the entire Thumb and Blue Water area. For information, call toll-free 800-572-2191. That's 800-572-2191. Or visit getkohlers.com. Remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
Shoot on into Croslex Laundry and Tanning, located at 37 Ward Street in Croswell. Feel free to throw your clothes into one of our high-efficiency washers or super hot dryers. Like our 60-pound washer, which takes 24 quarters but washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. You'll feel like you made a slam dunk when you turn your laundry day into laundry hour. Good luck, area teams from Croslex Laundry and Tanning, right next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open 7 days a week. Monday through Friday, 7 till 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Stop in and Eric, Bonnie, and Darlene will be happy to assist you.
All right, 6 o'clock, our welcome back to Sportsline here on WMIC AM 660, 95.3 FM. Jonathan Bishop from Thumb Tailgater Sports in the studio. Hello.
Yeah, sorry.
How was the meal?
I may or may not have a food baby.
All right. You're getting to that point in your age where you can let it go a little bit, but you do have a girl, I understand. We'll just leave it at that. You still do, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Some good cheese over there.
He got real defensive over there.
Yeah, I just said, yeah. Okay. He was like questioning me. Yeah. Is this interrogation? Am I going to hold a flashlight over your face?
Mike Gallagher, you still have a girl, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Yeah.
You are
See,
not
that's
Jake
how you
Peralta.
Answer that, JP.
He is not Jake Peralta. Okay? I've been watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I think I still have a wife. I think I do.
I don't know. After I golfed with you 2 weeks ago, Eddie, I was starting to question it.
it's a day-by-day situation.
What are you talking about? With the ladies at the course or what?
Everything.
Oh, okay. All right.
Don't tell on yourself, Eddie.
Yeah, just shush. You never know when Mrs. Fury's listening.
She doesn't listen.
Sometimes she does, yeah. She was listening about the recycling thing. All right, with us on the phone line also, we talked about him last hour, Scott Bowlesby from the Tuscola County Advertiser is calling in. How you doing, dude?
Hey, I was talked about? I missed that part.
Yeah, that was in the 5 o'clock hour. We're talking about the preview that your preview actually came out last week for football, and the rest of it comes out this week.
No, Scott,
Mike was wrong.
The football one comes out tomorrow, and the rest of it comes out next week. I got pushed back a week, which I wasn't arguing with because I needed that week.
Yeah.
So I was kind of right. He does two previews, but I just got the release date.
60% of the time, you are correct every time.
All right. So we're going to dive into some football talk here now. It is just a preview. First games are happening, most of them on Thursday, at least all in our immediate coverage area, with the exception of Armada, Marine City. They'll take place on Friday at Marine City, right? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So, all right. So, what we want to bring into, since Scott has so much knowledge about Millington coming into the Big Thumb Conference, Scott, this has kind of been like a dream. We're going to see some dream matchups, and this is actually going to help now to see Millington play against some of these teams that we've wished they would play. Now we're going to see it.
Yeah, very excited about Millington coming on into the Thumb area now. You know, before trying to cover them, trying to get them to play somebody from our area, didn't really see it a lot. Got lucky last year. Laker was in there. But this year, you're going to be seeing a lot of those matchups. They're going to see Caro again. They're going to travel to Sandusky, which Christian Zalek got that little knowledge tidbit wrong last night. He's the know-it-all at Millington, but they played Sandusky once, and that was in 2002 in the playoffs, and that's the only time they played Sandusky, so that'll be fun to watch them play each other. You know, the Cass City matchups in there again. So, yeah, there's some fun, exciting matchups. You know, Millington's going to be a very strong team this year, so they might make a very big impact right away in the Thumb. But, you know, down the line and in other sports, obviously, it's going to be a lot of fun to see them intertwine with some of the other schools around the area.
Yeah, Cass City's had the privilege of playing Millington several times in the past as well. So they're pretty familiar with them as well. So this Big Thumb Conference is called the White Division, which contains the Carroll Tigers, Cass City Redhawks, the Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers, Sandusky Wolves now in this mix, and the Millington Cardinals. Bad Axe Hatchets has canceled their season due to numbers here, right, Jonathan?
Yeah, they've canceled their 11-player season. They are getting an 8-player schedule out, but it's going to be against all JV teams. I know they got twice with North Huron, Mount Pleasant's in there, and I think they got somebody else. It sounds like they got about 4 games on the schedule right now.
So primarily here, Scotty, you got 1, 2, 3 immediate teams, and then your old high school that you graduated from, Sandusky, included in this division. Obviously, you just said, you know, Millington Cardinals heavily favored for this Big Thumb Conference White Division.
Yeah, and I don't care what you guys say. They're always going to be the Sandusky red and blacks to me. We're going to go way back in the history book. But nonetheless, it's Millington. I think Millington's conference to win this year. And that's no disrespect to anybody else in the Thumb. There was a lot of teams that lost a lot of good players last year. Cass City, one of them. Laker lost, 75% of their scoring last year. Not saying that they can't replenish that, but Jay Sears was just an absolute monster. He was a machine. He did a lot for that team. You know, Sandusky, I know they got a brand new coach, figuring things out. Carroll kind of in that same boat. A lot of new faces. Jacob Gallister coming over here, which we're really excited about, you know, to see him take over that program. But Millington returning a lot. You know, they don't have their quarterback from last year, but they said, you know what, we'll just throw in an all-state pitcher in Chuck Turbush, who now has the all-time wins as a pitcher for Millington baseball. So he knows how to throw a ball, and he knows how to sling that rock, that's for sure. And he throws it a mile, and he's got receivers to throw it to. He's got running backs that can absolutely just run it down your throat. They're so good all around this year. You know, and you know, shame on me. I thought they were in Division 6 this year. They're still in Division 7. They did not make that jump up. They were off by 6 kids. I was informed of that today, so I had to make a correction in my football preview because I apparently caused an uproar over in Cardinal Country. They were not happy that I put that in there. They were freaking out that they were in Division 6. And Christian had to calm everybody down as there was pandemonium in Millington. So
they love their football in Millington.
Well, and I'm sure they didn't want to see Jackson Lumen Christie again, who's in Division VI this year.
No, exactly. So yeah, they're going to be tough. They're strong all around. But you know, it's thumb football. We saw how they struggled with Cassidy in the postseason last year when no one gave Cassidy a chance. Cassidy grinded it out, and if it wasn't for the phantom fumble, we'll call it, it could have been a different story after that. But, you know, it's just one of those things where it's going to be an interesting season.
So they start off the season against Reese. Reese Rockets, tell me about them, Scotty, and what do you like for them to come out of this?
Yeah, it's going to be tough for Reese. They do bring back some pieces to the puzzle over there. They had a rough year last year. You know, I don't think it's going to be a great start for Reese this year. It's definitely going to be tough. They have to go to Millington. Millington's going to be hyped. They're having, like, I think it's their community night or something where, like, they're going to celebrate, you know, the entire community. They're going to celebrate the 99 team that I think went undefeated in the regular season, made it to the semis. So they're going to have a lot of excitement. They're going to be just absolutely jacked. I've seen them in scrimmages. I've seen them in practices. Millington is just on fire right now as far as getting ready for the season. You know, I think it's going to be a long night for Reese. And, you know, Reese is going to be an interesting team this year to check in on. They're one of those teams that I think Carroll can get by this year. I'm going to move over to Carroll real quick. I think Carroll is going to be one of those teams that can kind of sneak up and steal a couple wins this year. I know that I've had high hopes for them in the past, but something just seems different with Jacob Gallister. Just talking to him, he is dedicated. He's devoted. He is here to make a difference in the Carroll community with the athletic program. He's involving himself in everything. He's been hitting the weight room with the guys as soon as he got the job. He's been doing everything he can to improve this program. So I'm excited about them, but I think week one for Reese, it's going to be tough for them against Millington.
Yeah, and by the way, Reese Rockets is in the Big Thumb Conference Black Division, which has Harbor Beach, Marlette, Ubley, USA Patriots, and Vassar Vulcans now as well. And then Millington has Shepherd. They'll play against Sandusky. You mentioned that. It's been quite some time. They'll have a familiar foe against Cass City. Carroll, no game with Bad Axe. Have they replaced that game?
Not that I know of. You know, we've all obviously, you know, we all know the same story. They've talked to a couple people. Nobody wants to talk to them as far as playing. So they're still on the lookout for a team.
They might have to go to Canada or Ohio to play a game. Yeah. And then they'll have Lakers, Flint, and Birch Run. Who out of that league has, I would say, the greatest chance of maybe keeping it close against Millington or even knocking them off?
Cassidy. I think Cassidy. They know him. They've seen him. You know, Coach Cuthrell is a smart coach. They have they're just kind of the physical grind it out. When I got back when I got to Millington last Thursday for the scrimmage, Lenny Dantin, the assistant coach, former head coach, came right up to me and goes, "How'd Cassidy look?" And I said, "Oh, they looked okay." I said, they definitely have some spots you got to figure out. He goes, "But were they physical? Because that's, we know them best as physical." I said, "Yeah, they hit hard." And he said, "Yeah, that's where they always get us." And so, you know, I think Millington's physical this year. I think they're ready to go to battle, but watch out for, you know, if there's anybody at all, I think, in that division that could give Millington some problems, that could, you know, test them, I think it would be Cassidy this season.
One of the most important questions I want to ask you, being that you're based in Carroll, how is the Lugos in Carroll?
I've only been there, I'm going to shock you guys, but I've only been there once since they've opened. But it was just as good as the Lugos in Bad Axe, so I think we're doing all right. Everyone seems to be happy with them here, and what has it been, 2 months? They're still in business, so I think they're doing all right.
Sometimes that's how I base my schedule on. You know,
when Eddie says he has an important question for you, you can just prepare yourself for not an important question.
Well, wasn't sure where we were going to go with that, but
you never know where we're going to go.
Scotty, it was important. You knew the answer.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I got my burrito there right after they opened. And it's sad because I used to make my way to Bad Axe to cover sports. I would go up there with excitement because I get to go to Lugo's. Now it's here in my backyard, and I don't go there nearly as much. So
that's like me coming here for Dairy Queen.
Yeah, the Dairy Queen.
That's like me coming to Sandusky or Carroll for Dairy Queen because we don't have it in Bad Axe.
That's true, yeah, absolutely.
All right, do you have anything before we take a weather break?
I do have a question for Scotty. We haven't really gotten into the eight-player football yet, but I personally think that Santa Lat County has two of the top eight-player teams in the state in Brown City and Deckerville.
Seems like the road to the state semifinal or to a state championship, you got to go through a Thumb area team.
Right. Now, last season, Kingston beat Deckerville in the regular season, yep. and they beat Brown City in the postseason. So I don't want to, you know, write off the Cardinals or anything. We do know that they graduated Owen Corliss. So I was just wondering, Scott, how do you feel about the, you know, Kingston's chances this season and, you know, where they're going to fall in that race for the league title?
Yeah, I picked them third when I did my predictions. But after I talked to some of the coaches and, you know, I talked to Coach Jones, I talked to some of the other coaches around the area, primarily in Mayville. But, you know, after the scrimmage last week, I guess they went up against Deckerville and they were happy with how it turned out. I know it's just a scrimmage, but they took a lot out of that scrimmage and they were very happy with what they were able to take out of it. Now, I know, you know, Owen Corliss was a huge piece. What did he have, you know, almost half of their scoring last year, or at least, you know, over a quarter of it last year. The kid was just, he was a yard, you know, he racked up the yards. He was a machine. But they were very happy with how things, you know, worked out. Our defensive player of the year, was that Preston?
Preston Holman, yeah, from Deckerville.
Yeah, so I guess he went up against Corliss, Colin Corliss, the little brother,
okay.
and he stood toe-to-toe with him.
Okay.
So they were very happy with how he was able to battle with him and really made that line, you know, stand. They bring back Tanner James, who, you know, he's not Owen Corliss, no, but he's mobile. He can throw the ball. He's a big kid. They also have a young man named Nick Cummings. He's fast as well. Just one of those things where you can line him up anywhere. You know, I still think Deckerville is the favorite this year, but, you know, talking to some of the people, it seems like the positivity is still there in Kingston. It seems like they still feel like they can go toe to toe with, the likes of Brown City and Deckerville this season. So I think there's a lot of positivity in Kingston. You know, you think after graduating as many people as they did last year, they would be kind of worried, but, you know, and then you bring out a kid like, my gosh, his name is center,
DeRusso.
DeRusso, thank you.
Oh.
What is he? 6'5"?
He's all 6'5", maybe 6'6".
Yeah, he's a big kid.
He's a giant.
You know, he's not a football player per se, but you know, you can't teach height like that. And I, you know, if it comes down to a jump ball in the end zone,
he's what you call, Scott, a red zone weapon.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. And you know, I think he can. He can be a huge piece to them this year on the offense as long as they can use him. You know, he reminds me of when they used Derek Osborne a couple years ago where they, you know, he would roll out and they would just toss it up to him. And he's a little bit bigger, but, yeah, it just reminds me of that. They could use him for that type of play. But, yeah, he's going to be raw this year, but I think that they were very excited about him as well. So a lot of excitement over there. But, again, I still think, you know, I do think, if I had to pick out of the three, Deckerville has still got the slight edge to me. But, you know, I think it's going to be another good battle between Kingston and Deckerville this year.
Yeah, and don't forget Brown City. They got a few guys and players who have experience coming back this year as well. You know, the young quarterback and now some players in their senior year or redshirt year, you could call, you know, if you had that term.
But so. I was actually going to say there's probably some at least one person in Brown City that was very happy to hear you say that, Scott, that Deckerville's the favorite.
Wait, what? No. Oh, yeah. No,
they love fine. Their bulletin board material in Brown City.
I love giving bulletin board material, and You know, I picked Brown City to finish second. Don't sleep on. No, I didn't. I picked them to finish first. Shame on me. So there you go.
Take
I
a look at
with the Green Devils.
Bolton material.
Good save.
Yeah. So Bill Brown, there you go. There's a bulletin board material. You can prove the old Sandusky alum wrong. But you know, I think it's going to be a dogfight this year between those three teams when they do match up. And yeah, don't sleep on Brown City either, because he returned quite a bit from last year's impressive squad.
By the way, Kingston last year made it to the state semifinals, losing 42-34, just a touchdown and a 2-point conversion there. So yeah.
You know, the thing that's really tough in that division is I think Mayville is a great football program as well.
Yeah.
They just run into three other good ones.
Three of the best 8-player teams in the state, because I believe Mayville went 6-3 last year, correct? With their three losses.
Yeah, and they didn't make the playoffs either.
They didn't
make
the playoffs. And that's a playoff team, you know. But, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Just says a lot about the, you know, type of 8-player football we have around here.
All right, and again, the Kingston, this is the Big Thumb Conference, it's called now. They play in the Big Thumb 8-player conference Blue Division, which contains Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian Lancers, Brown City Green Devils, KPAC Chiefs, Deckerville Eagles, Dryden Cardinals, Kingston Cardinals, Mayville, Goldie Hawn Wildcats, and the Memphis Yellow Jackets as well.
An important note about Brown City, though, they're not eligible to make the playoffs this year.
Correct.
So we talk about them winning the league. They can't make the playoffs. So granted, Kingston and Deckerville, if they're able to beat them or however that sorts out this year, somebody's going to get a lot of playoff points from Brown City just having a good overall record.
Well, and for Brown City, too, if you don't have the ability to go to the postseason – well, what is going to be your most important goal for
the league title? So they're going to bring their best weeks 1-9, where Deckerville and Kingston are trying to get better every week to be their best at week 10, 11, 12, and 13. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how this regular season plays out with factoring that in for the first time.
Yeah.
All right.
Real quick, I got to ask Mike something real quick since we brought up the conferences. Mike, did you have a problem accidentally writing the old conferences when you're writing stories about your football teams?
I absolutely did, and it's funny you mention that, because on a decent amount of the preview forms, some of the coaches used the old conference names as well, too. not specifically for football, but, you know, in all the other sports.
Such as North Central Thumb League.
It's going to take us a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big learning curve.
Yeah.
Scott Bowlesby with us. Is that it? We're done with you? are we
just kick him out just like that?
Jeez.
We got to take a commercial break, so we'll be right back here on Thumb Sports Line. We'll be right back.
Bye, Scott.
Tri-County Equipment is proud to sell and service the John Deere side-by-side Gator utility vehicles. The John Deere Gator UTV is second to none. Whether it's a traditional Gator side-by-side for work or a crossover vehicle for play, a Gator UTV can see everyone in comfort. Backed by a history of reliability, this engine was made to take on trails and serious payloads as you make the most of your lands. So take a seat, stretch your legs, and get comfortable, because the fun has only begun. The knowledge team at Tri-County Equipment can help you choose the Gator UTV that is the best option for your budget and needs. So stop in today at Tri-County Equipment, with 11 locations serving you in Sandusky, Marlette, Bad Axe, Carroll, Burton, Lapeer, Fenton, Saginaw, Birch Run, Reese, and Auburn Hills. See more on the website, tricountyequipment.net. Tri-County
Equipment. Welcome back to Sports Line on WMIC. Tuesdays now at 5:30 p.m. till when the show ends. It's kind of like a mini preview here, getting ready for high school football coverage. We kind of went over volleyball in the 5:30 p.m. hour, and Scotty, since we still have you on the line, we did talk about North Branch is one of the top teams, state title last year, pretty cool. But we did glossed over another team that's pretty good, and you wanted to mention the Cassidy Redhawks girls volleyball team.
Yeah, shame on you guys. The Cutthroats, they seek you out. I've been in their crosshairs before, but
not a good place to be.
No, especially on Twitter.
Do we need to ask another TSA member about it?
But yeah, well, you know, it's a pretty bad, they definitely get you, and I let them know that I'll never get on their bad side again. But so Cassidy, they started off the season. I know it was a little rough over in Frankenmuth for their first tournament, but they were going up against some pretty big dogs over there. Then they go to Muskegon over the weekend and take care of business over there. They only lost one match. No, I think they won all their matches. And I think they tied a match, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, they beat up Tuam Westphalia, who beat them a couple years ago in the state semifinals. They beat a West Michigan, I think Catholic is what they're called, who Reese beat a couple years ago. Then they were the number one team in the state semifinals. They beat some, you know, pretty good teams over there, and they walked out with the championship. So they kind of went from, oh no, what is this season going to turn into, to, man, we are very powerful. And, you know, they return a lot this year. They do lose Josie Spencer, senior, graduated last year. They do lose Shayler McIntyre, who's just an all-around great athlete, as she transfers over to Carroll, getting that NIL money. So they did lose two good pieces from last year, but in that same breath, they bring up Shelby Ignash's little sister, who's just a ninth grader, pretty much the same height, kind of the same style. So they're sitting pretty right now. They brought up some other good players as well, and they're kind of, you know, it's going to be a learning curve a little bit. But once they get the groove going, once they get on the same page, this could be a very, very good Cassidy team. And that's saying something, because the last two seasons they made for the state semifinals in Division III, ranked third right now in Division III. Who cares about ranking this early in the season? I know, but you know, they're making their name known. And you know, when they're returning players like Shelby Ignash, Casey Gray, Izzy Phillips, you know, they're going to be a tough team to beat. And I think, you know, I don't see any reason why they can't make another run this season.
All right, and you did mention off air a little bit of cross country with runners in your area. Who would you like to mention, and team wise?
Yeah, real quick, Kaya Vrabel just committed to Oakland University. Carroll senior, went through two hip surgeries. I did a story on her over the summer. Phenomenal girl. She is just an absolute beast. She battled through all that. She broke two school records last year in track and field, like 3 months after her second hip surgery. She's back healthy now. She ran at Croslex last week, lost to, what's her name, Mike? Eva Thompson, is that her name?
Yep, Eva Thompson, yeah.
Okay, so who's an absolute animal. She's just a phenomenal runner. Lost to her. You know, they don't have a lot of numbers in Carroll this year, which is, you know, kind of shocking. But, you know, we obviously know Carroll is a really good cross-country team. Akaya has been doing really well. They have a sophomore, Luke Heron. He's been running really well. You know, those two, so it's going to be another year. Lila Kylie from Kingston's come out of the gate, quick. And I got to give a shout out to Brody Karg as well from, Harbor Beach, kind of quieted any kind of doubts anybody had about him this season, as he came out and just absolutely scorched the course last week at USA. And he is on a mission this year. And, watch out for him. He definitely is going to be down at Brooklyn at Michigan International Speedway in November. He definitely could finish up there in the state in Division IV. So he's going to have a great season. You know, Laker up at, Elkton Pigeon Bayport Laker, they got a strong team this year. They're quietly putting together a good machine up there as far as cross country goes. So locally, though, for me, Carroll, Millington's putting together a nice season. They got some good pieces over there as well. But Kaya Vrabel and Carroll, Luke Heron, and then Lila Kylie, of Kingston are going to be kind of my top runners this year, and USA. So it's going to be a fun season. USA is a unique, cross country is a unique sport. You've got to be crazy to do it. And, even crazier to wake up on a Saturday morning to go watch it, I guess sometimes, but, we have a lot of fun out there. So, I really enjoy it, and, good luck to all the kids this year.
Brody Karg was the only cross-country runner that JB could name when we were talking about the sport earlier. Well, so that's how you know he's a special kid and a special
runner. Dang right.
No, he's going to be good this year. He's definitely, like I said, you know, unfortunately they lost a key member of their team. He had a move. But if he would have been here, that's a team that is flirting with top three in the state in Division Four. I mean, they were good, and they unfortunately lost a key member. But Brody, he's on a mission this year. And
I can name two more, Mike, also.
Okay.
One from Harbor Beach and one from Ubley.
I was going to guess one of them would be from Ubley.
I can name the only male runner Ubley's got. We called him Big Mike. His name's Michael Walsh.
Okay.
And then Reese Rubel from Harbor Beach.
Yep.
Now, Big Mike, that doesn't really sound like a cross-country runner, is he?
That's what the kids called him, okay? It was Big Mike. Okay. I didn't go any farther than that. They called him Big Mike in eighth grade.
Okay.
Maybe he's got big feet.
Yeah, well, that's...
He's tall and lanky.
It's cross-country, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. But he isn't like our Mike.
No.
So, yeah. All right.
Other than that, I'm tapped out, guys. Good luck to you guys this season. It's always fun coming on here, and probably cross paths with you guys sometime. But, yeah, always enjoy coming on here with you guys.
Real quick, what's your game of the week on Let's Talk Sports on 92.1 FM?
Yeah, let's get ready for the debut of Jacob Gallister. Carroll, going to try to defend home turf, but it's going to be tough. Chris Secor and the North Branch Broncos coming up here. An old Tri-Valley East rivalry going to be renewed for a night. We're going to be on the air on Thursday for that one from Staymates Field here in Carroll. All I got to tell you is Eli Bickle from North Branch. I think he already got four or five different Division I offers from MAC schools primarily, but I expect a lot more coming his way. 6'6", 270, that's not even fair around here. And he's going to be a monster on the line this year. And his coach even said, I feel bad for whoever has to line up with him on any given night because they are going to have a bad night. So, they're going to throw Jacob Gallister headfirst into the waters. I think he's ready. I think he's going to have this Carroll team ready. And I think, facing a team like that right out of the gate is going to have them battle tested immediately. They're going to have to jump on in with him he has his ideas of how he can slow down North Branch. It's just hoping to see them on the field develop. So that is going to be our game of the week. And excited to get out there and check them out.
Great. That's a 92.1 Carroll against North Branch. And we will talk about the Blue Water Area Conference. You talked to the head coach from North Branch Broncos. How did he feel? Pretty excited after 4-5 last year. Looking up. Things are looking up, though, for this season, you would think.
Yeah, he talking to Coach Secora yesterday, he said we're going to be a very physical team. I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised when they come out to see how physical we are. They return a lot of good offensive starters, obviously losing Kevin Gorman, but he said his little brother Mikey Gorman could break the all-time touchdown record at North Branch in a single season. So he says he's fast, he's explosive, and he knows what the BWAC is about, obviously. He's well-prepared, but he's feeling very confident about his team this year. And sounds like he's, very confident that they could definitely, make a run towards the playoffs this season.
All right, Scotty B. Scott Bowlesby from the Tuscola County Advertiser. Let's Talk Sports 92.1 FM. Thank you, Scotty.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Thanks, see Scott. You, Scott.
All right. And on that Blue Water Area Conference topic, we'll come back and talk about the BWAC here. It is Thumb Sports Line. Get ready for week one here this week on WMIC AM 660 95.3 FM. And we still have a state champion to talk about at the end of our show here. Jonathan Mitchell had the whole scoop on that for us on the Ubley Bearcats when we come back.
Hi, Todd Bowers with More Motors of Carroll. If you're looking for a great deal on a Super Duty 4x4, I have great news. We have several Super Duty F-250s in stock, all around $55,000. We have a couple of regular cab F-250s, a Super Cab F-250 with an 8-foot box, and a Crew Cab F-250 with an 8-foot box. They're well-equipped XL work trucks with rubber floors, again, all less than $60,000, and all equipped with four-wheel drive. We also have a great selection of F-150s, Ram 1500s, and Ram 2500s. We also have rows of Jeeps and Pacificas in stock. That's More Motors, locally owned since 1965. Come see why your friends and neighbors are driving the Carroll.
That's More Motors, just west of Caro on M81, where your friends and neighbors get the real deal.
Welcome back to Sportsline on WMIC, AM 660, 95.3 FM. Our game of the week, Thursday evening, 6:30 p.m., high school 8-player football, Bay City All Saints at the Deckerville Eagles. And right now we're going to talk about the Blue Water Area Conference. We touched on it with the North Branch Broncos, 4-5 last year, but last year going to the state title game here, Jonathan Bisher, you were there, you called the game. The Elmont Raiders, champions, and man, what a great season they had. Storybook Cinderella. Well, I wouldn't say Cinderella. I guess it depends, you know.
They were the BWAC champs.
They were the BWAC champs. Wow. They had a phenomenal year. Came up just short, of course, in week 14 at Ford Field. But nonetheless, I mean, even to get to that point is such a special season. You know, twice since if you brought me on in Thumb Tailgater, Eddie, we've seen Elmont and Ford Field. And both times they've been oh so close. We thought they had a chance and they've fallen just short. And is this year the year? Because they return a lot. They return Chase Batani, one of their top running backs. Luke Winkler's back. They do got to find a new quarterback. That's the big question mark. But is it maybe a guy that can expand this offense in a way we've never seen it? Because they never really had that threat at a running quarterback. And maybe we see that this year with Elmont. Or are they going to stick true to themselves and run it right down your throats like they do every year? It'll be interesting to see what Coach Loosby has on tap for them. But you look at their schedule.
Chase Batani is back.
Back. That's the big one, along with Luke Winkler. Those are the two big guys returning for Elmont. And you look at their schedule, it's matches up pretty well for them week one against Marysville. They do test themselves week 9 against, I believe, is it Michigan Collegiate? I believe it's who they got, or Edison. They got Edison week 9, I think. That's a team they played in the playoffs last year, or that was in the playoffs last year.
Yep,
so
regional title.
It's not a gimme game come week 9, so I think that schedule works out very well for them, getting ready for the playoffs. Of course, they're in Division 6 this year. And they're looking to get back to Ford Field like every team is. But I think this is an Elmont team that could run it back like last year. Now, the BWAC from top to bottom this year, I believe, is going to be much tougher. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be Elmont, Armada, Crosslex, everybody else. I think it's going to be Elmont, North Branch, and about 5 other teams right there with them. I think everybody's got really a chance. You know, Crosslex is going to be a young, new team this year, so we don't know what to expect from them. That can be dangerous, especially in the BWAC. Richmond is returning a lot with Benetti. They're going to be dangerous. Yale was a win away from making the playoffs last year, and we all know Crosslex doesn't like to go play at Yale Park. And North Branch, of course, like Scott said, this is a potential for a North Branch team to win a BWAC this year. And, of course, Armada, since they've really turned the corner the last few years, they've been a dangerous team also.
Armada Tigers also making a lot of noise.
You definitely have to consider them a contender. And when you look at the BWAC, outside of Crosslex and Yale, who were just loaded with seniors last season, you know, they were both senior-led teams. All of these other teams in the BWAC return a majority of their best players.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. You know, Scott mentioned North Branch probably has the best player in the area in Eli Bickle. Now, it's an offensive lineman, so he's limited in what you can do, but that's just a weapon to have that you can run behind him every time. Armada's got this guy by the name of Jackson Malberg that we saw as a sophomore last year just kind of burst onto the scene. He's a guy that's you're going to be watching out for. Elmont, Chase Batani, and Luke Winkler are a nice 1-2 punch. We talk about Crosslex. They lose their 1-2 punch in Gavin Espinoza and Belly Grappi. But that just opens up the door, I think, for all these other athletes. And that's a dangerous team. If you ask me from a coaching standpoint, what are you more scared of? A team that's returning everybody that you know what they're going to do, or a team that you have no idea what they're going to do because they're a bunch of new kids, and it's a school like Crosslex that produces athlete after athlete? That's a dangerous team.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, they had, you know, some great seniors last year. But, you know, this year's group, you know, with talking to Coach Holes, he said, you know, that we're not the flashy guys, you know, we're not, you know, Belly Grappi and Gavin Espinoza, you know, we're going to be the guys that go in and work hard and, you know, kind of be this blue collar type of team, which, you know, I think that's a great mentality. And, you know, they have the type of players that are going to buy into that.
That sounds like Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Blue collar, work our butts off, you know, and that's
punch
a team,
the clock.
You know, bite a kneecap off and then bite another kneecap off. Those, but that's what I said. Those are the dangerous teams.
Yeah.
You know, a team that's built off grit that doesn't have superstars, those are the teams that can, you know, upset an Almont in week four. I think they play them. Upset Armada in week two. That's a dangerous team to look out for, even though they lose the big names like Gavin Espinoza and Belly Grappi, who are just two phenomenal players that we got to watch for 3 years here. It's going to be fun to see what the BWAC has in store for us, because we know every year they beat up on each other.
Well, and we've seen Croslex, maybe not so much in football, maybe a little bit in football, more so in basketball. They kind of thrive off of that disrespect. You know, they if you say, you know, oh, you lost all your seniors, you lost Belly Grappi, you lost Gavin Espinoza, you lost Joey Ramsey, you know, that's definitely something that they're going to use as motivation.
So. Oh, and I think that'll work very well for them. It's going to be interesting to see, but it, like you said about volleyball and Millington football, to be the king, though, you got to beat the king. And it's really, I still think Almont's the team to beat in the BWAC. North Branch is an up-and-rising team. I think they can make a run in the BWAC. Don't be surprised if they make a run in Division IV. And that's the interesting thing about the BWAC. You got Division IV to Division VI covered with teams. Mm-hmm. So it's a wide array that you beat up each other in the regular seasons, and you won't see each other in the postseasons most likely. So it's interesting to see how that all unfolds and everything. You know, a school like Almont beating a Division IV North Branch across Lex really gets them a lot of bonus points come playoff points time. So the BWAC really has an interesting fold to it.
Yeah, and interesting about, well, the thing about Almont Raiders too, they make sure their players, when they start off young, when they, you know, move up year to year, these players have experience at the varsity level. For Croswell Lexington, do they have enough players that have enough experience in a varsity level, especially in the backfield as a, you know, a young quarterback starting this year,
right,
from what I understand.
Right. So obviously not a lot of experience at the quarterback position, but they really do like the guy that they have, Jax Johnston, the younger brother of Joey Johnston,
really?
If you remember him.
Okay.
And then Justin Johnston, I believe, was the older brother. Apologies if I – he was a little bit before my time, so if I got his name wrong, I apologize, but – he would be the youngest brother. He'll be the third Johnston starting at quarterback for Croslex. And, you know, they have a lot of belief in him and the talents that he has. So maybe not necessarily a ton of experience there.
But the O-line, is there experience there?
They should be. You know, obviously you lose Joey Ramsey,
yeah,
which, you know,
TSA lineman of the year shows you how good he was.
You know, you need 10, 15 yards, just run it behind him. at the running back position, again, not a ton of experience, because when you have Belly Grappi, you're, you know, going to give the ball to Belly Grappi. You know, you're overthinking it if you don't give it to Belly Grappi. But we saw last year, John Herman, Bill Herman, you know, they both filled in at running back at times and, you know, looked pretty good in doing so. And they're smaller guys, but I think, you know, they have the strength and the toughness to be, a you know, 15, 20 times a game ball carrier. And then you look at a guy like Reese Knoll, senior team captain. He's been on varsity for three seasons, and you know, last season he was honorable mention all conference, both offensively and defensively. And you know, you talk about that blue collar, you know, going to work, you know, type of mindset. You know, that's Reese Knoll to a T. So I like the seniors that they have, you know, their leadership is going to be important. You know, as they, you know, work with these younger kids, you know, the Jax Johnstons and the, you know, the this younger group, this new era of pioneers coming up through the program.
7-3 last year under head coach Holes under his first season.
Yep.
So nothing but looking up here.
7-3, and they almost knocked off the eventual state champion.
Yeah.
That's such a big what if.
Oh,
I mean, they were right there.
They were right there.
If they beat Harper Woods, what do the matchups look like from going forward? And that's the fun game of what ifs. But hey, this is, I still think a bright future for Croslex. Like you mentioned, a freshman quarterback in Jack Johnson. It'll be interesting to see what Coach Holes does him. Does he throw the whole playbook at him week one against Swan Valley, or does he ease him into it? You know, you don't have a guy, like you said, like Belly Grappi that you can hand the ball off to 30 times, but you're going to have John Herman and Bill Herman back there, like you said, maybe 15 carries each. How is he going to
take a little bit of pressure off the freshman quarterback?
Who's going to be that weapon on the outside when they do need to throw it really to open up thing? You don't have a Sage Slanik like you had a couple years ago. You don't have that real weapon on the outside. So, but they're going to be built off the mentality of we're just going to outwork you. And a lot of times in football, especially in high school football, that goes a long ways.
Look at this schedule. Go ahead.
I do think that they have a big play, weapon in Cody Mativier at the wide receiver position. Now, they did graduate Miles Levitt and Jet Weeder, who were kind of, you know, the slot guys, you know, kind of the more, you know, I don't want to say reliable, but, you know, Mativier was kind of the guy that they, you know, would hit with the deep ball every once in a while. So they're going to really count on him this year. But they do need a few kids to slide in at the wide receiver positions. I think Nolan Campbell is going to be a kid that is going to, you know, be making some noise at the receiver position for Croslex this year. Again, an all-conference defensive back last year.
As a sophomore. Maybe. Right? He was a junior last year. Yeah. Sorry, he's a senior this year. Yep.
Okay. I had to think about it for a second.
Yep, I was wrong. I fired too soon.
Yeah. So a lot of questions for Croslex. I think they're ready to answer those questions, but they're going to have to get it going pretty quickly because we were talking about it last night. You have the toughest BWAC games right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. You got Swan Valley for week one here.
Yep.
Then you got Armada. Then you got Richmond, two very hungry teams, an even hungrier team that bounced back from a 4-5 season last year. Armada and Richmond 5-5 last year. Then they have North Branch in week four. Almont, one of the most heavily favored teams in the BWAC after that. And then Algonac, Imlay City. And then you'll have Yale, who wants to make some noise, Ogama Heights to end the season. What?
If they can get through that first 5 weeks, 2-3, 3-2, I think they're sitting very well going against Algonac and Imlay City. And, of course, the big one, week 8 against Yale. Now, week 9 is going to be an absolute dogfight against Ogama Heights, a team that beat Almont last year and beat who was the state Division 6 state runner-up, and they beat the Division 6 state champions in Kingsley last year. So this Ogama Heights team is no slouch week 9 either for Croslex. But I think if they can get 2-3 somewhere in there, pull off one of those, I don't want to say major upsets, but a nice quality win, you know, you're going to be thinking, all right, this is a team that can make the playoffs.
By the way, hats off to Ubley taking on Ogama Heights in week 1. Wow. What's going on with that, huh?
Need a game.
Hey, that's some playoff points. That's a Class B size school, 9-2 team from last year, like you said. That was Kingsford, it says.
No, they beat Kingsley week 9 in the regular season. Oh, okay,
yeah, you're right. And that's who Elmont lost in state title.
Yes.
Yep.
So this Ogama Heights team that Croslex is playing week 9 and Elby's playing week 1 knocked off the Division 6 runner-up and champions in the regular season. So this is no slouch in Ogama Heights that we're going to see two thumb teams play. Who would have thought we would see two thumb teams? Our smallest 11-player team and our largest 11-player team play the same school in the regular season.
Yeah,
I'm jealous of that game week one.
Team of the year is going to be fun this year.
Well, Almont has Marysville. They like to start off with a MAC team, you know, in week one. And then Imlay City, Yale, Algonac. Then they had that game against Croswell, Lexington, and run through the gauntlet near the end of the season, which you kind of want. Mm-hmm. They'll have Croswell in week 5, Armada, Richmond, North Branch, and finish with Edison for Almont, who were in the state title game, lost in the state title game to Kingsley, 24-38. Had a chance, but just got away from them as well. So, all right, that's the BWAC. Who do you guys got for the BWAC, by the way? I'm just going to lean towards the favorite here, Almont.
Yeah, give me Almont till Almont does it.
Yeah. All right. That's the BWAC, and of course, a lot of great games in week one for the BWAC. Armada, Marin City is a pretty cool matchup as well, so looking forward to that. Up next, we got our head coach interview for the evening, Ryan Palmer from Sandusky coming in, just getting off practice here. We'll be right back here on Sportsline.
Eddie, I am out of here for volleyball, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Mike Gallagher will be back next week. Yep.
All across the Thumb and Blue Water area, there's one propane supplier that's ready to serve you. It's Kohler Propane, with locations in Brown City, Memphis, and Bad Axe. Kohler Propane, where they strive to keep your fuel bill down and provide you with the best possible service. They guarantee their propane prices for one full year. There's free tank inspection and free safety inspection, plus keep full and budget plans are available. If you are not a current Kohler customer, now's the time to make the switch and call Kohler's. Whether it's propane for your home's heating system or for your farm or business, they're ready to serve you. Remember, Kohler's covers the entire Thumb and Blue Water area. For information, call toll-free 800-572-2191. That's 800-572-2191. Or visit getkohlers.com. Remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
And welcome back to Sports Lion on a Tuesday. It's now on Tuesday's 5:30 p.m. start. When I think my co-host Mike Gallagher, Stanley County News, he's got to attend a volleyball game. Peck Marlette, he said.
Yeah, but I got a question for you, Eddie. Yeah. Now that he's gone, is no longer co-host. You're just the host, right?
Well, it makes you the co-host now.
Oh, dang it.
Jonathan Bisher.
I don't like more responsibility on my shoulders.
Hey, you want my job?
Not right now, no.
With us is our special guest of the week. We had to try to get a head coach in here, and since we're based right here in downtown Sandusky, first-year head coach for the Sandusky Wolves, Coach Ryan Palmer. How you doing, man?
Doing great.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You are also principal, right?
I am.
Yeah. And what's really cool here, when I was working just, I guess, in my 2000 era, late 90s, down in Lapeer, Flint for Rock Radio, I would get my St. Louis County News subscription sent over there. I'm reading the Decorable Eagles football because I had kind of stayed away from it, Jonathan. I was rocking it out. I said, who's this Ryan Palmer guy throwing touchdowns for Decorville? Throwing and running for touchdowns? Ryan Palmer, you went to my alma mater, a class of what?
02.
So yeah. That's we're going on
22
years?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
it's been a while.
Yeah, and you then later on went to play college ball, right?
Yep, played at Elma, graduated from there in 06, and then actually moved out to Arizona. And I was out in Arizona from 07 all the way up until this last year when my family and I moved back.
Yeah, and it's nice to be back home. Yeah?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Was that always in the cards someday?
I don't know. Not really. It was kind of one of those things where when I graduated, the opportunity was out there in Arizona. I'd never been in Arizona in a day of my life. And I was young and 21, and I got offered a head coaching opportunity out there at a school and a teaching position. And those were, believe it or not, considering right now the climate with teacher shortage nationally, and we're starting to see the effect of that here in Michigan as well. There was not very many teaching jobs in the early 2000s here in Michigan, so a lot of people had to go out of state, and I was one of them. And, I thought, I'll go out there and try it for a year or two and see what it's like, and then 20 years later, we're back. So
yeah, I know Alma loves to pull in a lot of Thumb athletes or the greater Thumb area to play in that collegiate league there, you could say, in a nice facility. We saw the Harbor Beach Pirates win state semifinal to move on to the state championship game there also as well. But it's a college that seems to like to pull in those Thumb athletes, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I actually, when I played, we were just talking, I played with a couple guys from Ubley and some guys from USA were on the team, and you're exactly right. And still today, a lot of kids get an opportunity to play collegiate ball, Elma is a great spot to do that.
Taking you back, I hate to go back in history, but it's quite interesting. It's kind of cool, you see your Thumb athletes and move on to the next level, no matter what division it is. Mm-hmm. Were you initially offered, or was it late in your senior year that you were starting to get these offers and looks?
I guess I was getting a lot of interest, I attended some of the camps and stuff like that, and I had some preferred walk-on opportunities and some schools out of state specifically, and a lot of the D2 schools were just like, we're not, and this is before Huddle, and this is before
Twitter and all that
before
stuff,
X and putting it out there, At the end of the day, though, I just kind of came to the realization I'm not going pro. You know what I want to do? I want to play football. I want to get a good education. I want to play football, and I want to play. I don't want to be sitting on a sideline, even though, you know, potentially I could have worked into a role at some of those D2s. But the attractiveness to me was, you know, at D3 I was going to have an opportunity to play, and that's all I really cared about.
And so, you got to stay somewhat local to your family and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of factors that went into it, at the end of the day, Elma was a great place to go to school. It's a great college.
And then that obviously instilled your knowledge right off the bat. Now you're a teacher in Arizona, and you got to coach football as well.
Yeah.
You won a state title?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we had a lot of success, and you know, we had sustained success where we were in the state championship three straight years. I think we were in the semifinals for six or seven straight years, and I had a unique opportunity because I went out there and they had actually just canceled their football program because of low participation. So, how did I get to that school specifically? Once again, at Elma, one of the linebackers, one of my buddies, was out there already coaching softball, and he actually won a state championship coaching softball at this school. So he said, hey, we need a football coach and we need a history teacher. And I said, well, check. And I said, all right, man, I'm coming out. And that's kind of when I went out there, and they had just let go of their coach. They had a pretty poor turnout participation. And, you know, I went door to door, and just kind of tried to get the kids out and tried to instill a culture like what I had here growing up here in the Thumb. You know, Bill Brown's program, where he got a lot of his tradition and culture from Bob Siskevich and other coaches, and those core values and those things we just instilled out there, and it worked. And then we started having some success, and next thing you know, we're in the playoffs, and next thing you know, we're undefeated every year, and we're the contender for the state championship and probably, you know, one of the best programs in that division in the state. So it was good. It was a good experience.
So how long did you do that over there? And then there was a gap in not coaching, right? So
yep. So I was actually with the same program about 14, 15 years. It was kind of one of those things where, as a teacher, you know, I started out in the district and they just kept giving me more and more responsibilities. And next thing you know, I'm the athletic director. And next thing you know, I'm basically an assistant principal and running different stuff. And I was coaching boys basketball, varsity. I was coaching, obviously, the football. And once you get to a certain point where you're doing all those things, it's hard to leave a school. And I didn't need to. I was a great place and a great experience. However, there was a school in South Phoenix. It's a public charter private school, and they were rebuilding their football program. It was just after COVID hit. They really wanted – the school was actually founded in association with the NFL, and it was called NFL Yet. And they wanted to make football a priority at their school, and they said, you know, will you come lead this change? We have a similar demographic. We have similar kids to what you just did in Superior. We want you to come do that here. And I said, well, unfortunately, I'm doing all these other things, so I don't think I can just go there. And they said, well, let us know what you need. And I did, and they did. And I said, okay, I guess I'm going. So I went to South Phoenix. I was there for 2 years before we moved back here. So, and I was just starting to start a rebuild there. We redid the entire weight room. We were going through and, you know, really just trying to instill that foundation again. So, yeah. And then this last year, you know, I came in focused on being a new administrator, being a principal. And you know, now I'm really happy. And I guess I'm very grateful to have the opportunity to coach again, because it's such a huge part of my life. Like, you know, my job is being an administrator, and I'm passionate about that. And I want Sandusky Schools to be the best school in the region, the best school in the state. And I want to do everything I can to support my teachers and make it the best experience for our students. But my passion is coaching, and I'm really grateful for that opportunity.
So have you, as coach in high school, ever 11 player, or is it always 8 player?
Yeah, 11 player for 3 years, okay. 4 years. We did go to 8 man. I will say, you know, that's the conversation. At the end of the day, I would take some of my 8-man teams over all of my 11-man teams, just with the kids and things like that. Yeah. And, you know, that's when you sit here and look at some of these programs that are hanging on to 11-man, and really what it just comes down to is safety. And you look at a school like Albany, for example, their enrollment probably warrants an 11-man. But when you have a strong tradition, you have a strong culture, and you have a community that supports that team, you know, they're able to do it at the highest level. So I think that speaks a lot of volumes to the communities around here and the support they give kids.
So now you're at Sandusky, a principal, yep. And you get to coach take over for a pretty good coach. He had a pretty successful run for Craig Jacobson. Yep. You're very familiar of the Wing T offense. Now you're at head coach of Sandusky Wolves. Now you want to put a little bit of your wrinkle into it as well. How soon do you instill that now that you've started in your first year here? I know is there a little bit of learning curve for you to get back to it? Because from that beautiful hot heat, you want to cool off and come up here to Michigan.
It has not been cold, yeah, Eddie.
It was pretty cool today. Today is what I like to call Michigan hot. It's still not Arizona hot. It's different. In Arizona, it's different. It was 118. We had a heat advisory. And in here, it was 91, and it was a heat advisory, but definitely hot.
Yeah, did you think you would be coaching again at all once you got the principal position here at Sandusky?
Yeah, like I said, it was definitely something that's a passion of mine, and if the opportunity arose, I was going to definitely throw your hat
in there. Yeah.
And like I said, I'm very grateful for the opportunity and make the most of it. As far as when it comes down to, what does that look like? I mean, I can't give you the entire game plan. I get one shot at surprising everybody here, where nobody really knows what we're going to do, and maybe ourselves. No, I'm just kidding. but at the end of the day, it's going to be a lot different in some aspects. In some aspects, it's going to be a lot of the same. And really what it comes down to is just maximizing the potential of our student athletes and making sure we're putting them in winning positions. Yeah, there's definitely a learning curve. Are we going to come out and be able to do everything we want to do right away? No. Are we going to be able to come in and implement some of these aspects of what I've had with success in my previous programs? Absolutely, and the kids are already doing a great job.
So I got a question for you. Mm-hmm. Not often in the Thumb do we get to see a coach that has been in the Thumb, left, and then came back and mm-hmm. had great success out of Thumb. What's one of the biggest differences between what was it like coaching football in Arizona and what's it like been like playing football here in the Thumb and coaching football? You know, granted, you've only been head coach for a week and a half here for Sandusky, but the biggest differences between whether it's the school, the kids, the style of play.
Yeah, I think what you'll find, and even out in Arizona, a lot of the rural areas, they ran a similar type, like power, wing tee, full tee style football. And that's actually what it was like when I moved down there at the school I was at. They were running full tee and everything like that. We came in and implemented a spread, and next thing you know, all these other schools that we were playing were like, oh, well, they're able to take those kids and have that success. And, so, you know, and it kind of started to spread. Then you get into this, like, where we were at, I was literally in Phoenix, like downtown Phoenix. And if you had a team that came in, like Ubley or like Cass City or some of these teams that are really doing a great, the Harbor Beach, that are doing a great job running this full tee and running this wing tee, they win a state championship every single year because nobody know how to stop that because you're hitting them in the mouth because everything's spread down there. So I think it's kind of interesting if we were to bring some of those spread concepts here to the Thumb, and obviously you can say weather and all the other things, but at the end of the day, everybody's got to play in those conditions. A wide receiver's got to run routes in those conditions, but a DB's also got to defend in those. So I think there's I don't like that. But I do think that, coming in with a well-rounded experience, I will tell you one thing. Growing up here, we had a lot of success with Bill Brown's offense. I mean, we were just talking earlier in the break. I could still run a 242 fullback right up the middle. That play I got ingrained in my mind because we ran it 40 times a game. But when you come out and then you go to Elma and that experience there, and I actually was fortunate, and Elma's all spread. And then I actually had an experience with arena football where I played. I didn't play, but I was on the team.
Wow.
and got to do that. And then taking that and then going and building a program and just taking what works and doesn't and taking elements of the wing tee and establishing it into the spread. And really, it's a hybrid of what we're going to try to do. Like I said, it just really comes down to the kids and just trying to put them in the best spot.
How the kids responded since you've come in?
I think they're excited. I mean, I've been really impressed with their work ethic, their attitude. You know, they're buying into the culture. They're buying into the offensive system. I think they're having fun with it, and that's all what's really important, because it doesn't matter, you know, based on my experience, what you run. If the kids believe in it, you're going to be successful. If the kids aren't sure, well, you're not going to have you're never going to reach your potential. So I think the buy-in's been great. I'm really proud of our kids. I kind of use the analogy, it's learning a foreign language. I mean, they're learning concepts that they didn't know existed, and you know, for better or worse, it doesn't matter. What matters is that we're the kids are buying in, and they are.
Yeah, I saw the scrimmage last week. You know, you ran the wing tee right off the bat. You're mm-hmm. going up against Harbor Beach, who does both,
yep.
similar to what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But I saw a little bit of pep in the step, and you decided, because I thought you weren't going to reveal it.
Mm-hmm.
They got a little excited when you said, okay, you got that spread out there, and you saw a little bit of pep in there, a little bit of excitement from them.
Yeah.
And then going back and forth with that, utilizing both, you know, and the advantage of this, like you said, the kids are excited, but to have some experience from last year come back
mm-hmm.
and wanting, just hungry for this. It's like, I would say, can't wait to watch this new movie or a new video game. I can't wait to play here. They can't wait to try this offense and combine them both with what you got.
Yep. And I think the biggest thing for the kids is that they're excited about it, but then they're also starting to see, like, you can see it click with them, like, oh, this guy really does know what he's talking about, or okay.
And when we start
getting this thing moving and we start getting this thing rolling, I think the kids are just building with that excitement. So I'm really excited. I think that our team is very talented. I think we're tough. I think we got a lot of experience coming back. We are going to put athletes in positions to help us win. So the kids are doing great.
The advantage also, and I know it's been a while, but as a player, you still see some of these teams that you actually, some of the coaches are still coaches back in your day.
Yeah.
A lot of them. Coach Shelke is one of them from Harbor Beach, you know.
A lot of them, yeah. No, it's been pretty cool. It's been a pretty cool experience because, I've had a lot of conversations about, what did we say, 23 years ago, where, yeah, if you guys would have just done this up in Gaylord and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, how do you remember that? I don't even remember that. Like, but it's pretty cool. It's really cool. And that's a great thing about being back home is seeing some of these guys and seeing the success they had and, kind of picking their brain on different stuff. And, it's great.
Am I right? Six touchdowns in a game in high school?
Yeah, that was actually, and I'm going to throw that out to my Bearcat sitting over here. That was actually in a half.
Against Elbley. I'm not surprised.
That was the first half.
You guys were good back then. I'll give that to you.
All the credit goes to the O-line. Thanks for that. I needed that today, that ego boost. And,
get the air pump out, pumping it back up.
The good old days, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a funny story, too, because we were sitting there watching the JV game, and the quarterback for Ubley was pretty good, and he was throwing around in the JV game, and I think Bill was standing there next to me, and we were watching it, and Bill goes, how come you can't throw like that? I was like, what? You don't let me throw. Let me throw the ball and see. And then the very next game, we come out, it was Ubley, and he let me throw, and we had like six touchdowns in the first half. And
that's what Elma came calling.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the Big Thumb Conference now, it's the White Division, consisting of Carroll, Cass City, Lakers, Millington, and of course your team here. Man, Millington coming into play here, pretty excited about that. You got Nouvelle Catholic, they're a pretty tough team as well. Mm-hmm. Week two that we will be covering, you got Marlette, spread offense. Denny Lester's got a lot of talent coming back as well. He was at the scrimmage checking it out, and he says, made him scratch his head. You got Millington, three tough games in a row here, Coach, and then Cass City, Did you find a week four opponent in place of Bad Axe yet?
We're still looking. I think there was only a couple schools. We reached out to one of them. They had already filled. The other school is a larger division, which I'm not opposed to playing because that'd be a good experience for our kids. But I don't know if that's beneficial for them when you're talking about playoff points. They're a traditionally strong program. It probably would hurt them if they played us. And we're still looking. I think at the end of the day, we want to play and get that experience. But ultimately, it's got to make sense.
Yeah, and you still have Lakers, so still a pretty tough schedule for yourself with Carroll, USA, and Reese coming into play as well. But Nouvelle Catholic right off the bat, a week one game, that's a tough week one game there. We talked about the offense. Mm-hmm. Now defense. There's going to be wrinkles in defense coming to this season as well.
Yeah, I think, like I said, Thursday night, I think there's going to be some people going, what's going on a little bit?
And this isn't normal thumb Sandusky football.
Yeah, a little bit of that. So I don't know. I'm excited. At the same time, though, it's still going to come down to tackling and blocking and taking care of the football, and football's football. I hope my goal is this, that people leave there going, okay. You're like, okay. And excited and have fun. And we put on an enjoyable product out there with these kids because they've been working hard at it.
All right. The goals right now, what is it that you tell the team for your goals?
The goals.
You're first year head coach, so of course.
Well, I think what we do, I'm not really big on talking about wins and losses and things like that. I just talk about the culture. Like, how we do one thing is how we do everything. And I think there's a lot of things there where we can take the little things and they'll build up. Like, you do the little things right. And I've been fortunate enough to coach a long time where I've coached teams that haven't done the little things right, and I've coached teams that have. Once the student athletes start doing the little things right, and then they start winning more games because of it, and like I said earlier, it kind of starts to click, and they start to figure it out, and everybody wants to be a part of a winner, and everybody wants to uphold that standard. No team wants to go backwards. So I think it's just going to be something where we just have that growth mindset where every day, we stay humble and hungry, and we just work and work and work and work and build and build and build, and eventually we'll get there. So it's not going to happen overnight, and there's going to be, it's never just a straight climb. There's peaks and valleys, and that's just the way it goes when you're trying to build a championship culture. I think these kids want it, and I'm excited about what they're doing.
So you think they want it just as bad as you do, so...
hopefully that's what we're trying to infuse with that energy. We got a great coaching staff, Andrew Palmer, Justin Trohill, Jimmy Tanton, Mike Stoliker's helping out with the varsity, and we also have Alex Ritter and Brad Bays helping out as well. I hope I didn't forget anybody, but those guys have been doing a great job. They're bringing the energy, they're excited too, and like I said, a lot of good things moving in the right direction, and problem is you never know till you know, and I guess we're gonna find out Thursday where we're at with that. So
you want one more question with him? Got anything?
No, I think I'm good. You answered my question. I love that you said, like you said, football's football, but mm-hmm. just the different things that, like, we think here the thumb, it's wing T and wing T only, and then you hear that, well, they do it in Arizona too, they just might do it a little different. Mm-hmm. Interesting to see that there are different people out there, and everybody can always learn from each other. Football is always evolving, and it's nice to see a fresh face come back to the thumb, and I don't want to say change things up in, but maybe bring something new that everybody can learn from, because if everybody sees you having success, next thing you know, a Harbor Beach or an Ubley might not be a traditional what they are. Like, hey, they know what they're doing over here. I want to do what he's doing also.
Yeah. Well, and at the same time, though, I think thumb football has a lot to be proud of. I mean, thumb football has a toughness about it. Thumb football means something across this state. I think you still have to hold on to that. But, yeah, I just have that growth mindset, and we can always be better, and we can always grow, and we can always improve. So
I can't believe you haven't mentioned Mrs. Palmer showing her dance technique, because it takes a little bit of skill out there in the field.
I got to plug that dance house, too. We got we got the dance house rocking and rolling. It's right, actually,
right behind our building,
sharing a parking lot. And yeah. No, I'm really, really proud of my wife and the business that she's grown there, and she impacts so many young kids' lives, and she shares her passion of dance with the community, and she does an awesome job.
And she'll be your biggest cheerleader along with your kids out there.
So, oh, absolutely, yeah. They're amazing. I tell you what, it takes a special you spend a lot of time, working with kids, and that is my passion, to helping kids and helping kids reach their potential. But she has a lot of patience with me for that, and I'm very grateful for her and my family for allowing me to do what I love to do.
Head coach for the Sandusky Wolves, Ryan Palmer. Good luck in week one, man, and thank you for stopping in. We appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys, and I appreciate all you guys do to cover these kids. Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back. Checking the weather. We're going to talk about Jonathan's favorite team here in just a bit. I won't say who. We'll be right back here in Sports Line.
Tri-County Equipment is proud to sell and service the John Deere side-by-side Gator utility vehicles. The John Deere Gator UTV is second to none. Whether it's a traditional Gator side-by-side for work or a crossover vehicle for play, a Gator UTV can see everyone in comfort. Backed by a history of reliability, this engine was made to take on trails and serious payloads as you make the most of your lands. So take a seat, stretch your legs, and get comfortable, because the fun has only begun. The knowledge team at Tri-County Equipment can help you choose the Gator UTV that is the best option for your budget and needs. So stop in today at Tri-County Equipment, with 11 locations serving you in Sandusky, Marlette, Bad Axe, Carroll, Burton, Lapeer, Fenton, Saginaw, Birch Run, Reese, and Auburn Hills. See more on the website, tricountyequipment.net.
Your friends at Liberty Lane say, come on down and join our team.
Let's go bowling!
Register now for a fall bowling league. There are openings on ladies' leagues for Wednesday morning and evening, men's leagues on Tuesday and Wednesday evenings, and mixed leagues on Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday evenings. Beginners are welcome. Just stop in or call 810-648-9860. Also, openings on the waitstaff, so apply now.
Let's go bowling!
Liberty Lanes, West Park, Sandusky. The Thumb Area's top choice for great bowling for 45 years.
All right, welcome back to Thumb Sports Line. Great conversation there of Coach Ryan Palmer of the Sandusky Wolves. What a great story, man.
Yeah, it's a great story. Yeah. From the area, leaves the area, comes back, wants to instill Thumb football into Sandusky, but with a little twist. It'll be interesting
what
to see what he learned out of the area. It'll be interesting to see, Thumb football's got a lot to be proud of. You want that toughness, you want that physicality, but he wants to add in a couple things, like he says, to get the best out of his athletes. So it'll be interesting to see come Thursday night what Sandusky is really all about. Keep the physicality, keep the toughness, but put the athletes in the best spots to succeed.
Yes. Tough start to the season,
Powerhouse Nouvelle, tough. Yeah. And people will say this isn't Nouvelle the old. I see Nouvelle last Thursday.
Yeah.
They're better than what they were last year at 4-5. This is a very athletic team. Now, they are a smaller school, so they don't have the athletes that they used to have, but don't count Nouvelle out. Sandusky's going to have their hands full week one, and like Coach Palmer said, it's going to be a big learning curve for these kids. A new offensive system, like you said, new concepts, new terminology that they've never seen before. So it might be a little rocky at the beginning, but it'll be fun to see what they do week nine.
Well, we've been very fortunate in the Thumb and the TSA coverage area. Ubley Bearcats state championship. Got that state championship last year. Sometimes it's still hard to believe, we did it. And of course, you were pretty excited. You had to zip on out of there. I got to go celebrate.
Yeah,
so,
as much as I love calling games, and there's the whole thing of being unbiased and stuff, there's still a spot in my heart of I was in that program.
Yeah.
Coach Sweeney was my youth coach growing up. I went to school with his kids, so we kind of had that special bond. So, yeah, there was a special part in my heart of saying, this one was more about the community for me rather than, just that team or everything. And then, of course, it goes to the Thumb. When Harbor Beach won their state title in 2012, yep. I looked at that team and I seen a couple cousins on that team, and I'm like, man, they brought one back to the Thumb. And I played against that team. I did my best to them, it's just one of those things where you bring it back to Thumb, everybody's just happy. So whether it's Ubley, whether it's Harbor Beach who are rivals, Lakers won one back in the 70s, USA in the early 2000s, we just love seeing good football around here. But yeah, last year's did have a little bit of a soft spot to me, but it was fun to watch, and I'm excited for another year because I think this year can be even a better year for the Thumb football than what last year was.
Well, we still have a Coach Sweeney, and this is the Big Thumb Black Division, which consists of Harbor Beach, Pirates, Marlette Red Raiders, the Reese Rockets now, Unionville Seawing Patriots, Vassar Vulcans, and the state champions from last year, the Ubley Bearcats, who made it two straight state title runs, right?
Yeah,
but finally win it last year.
Yeah, two straight, lost in 22, won in 23. They're also there in 2020, so really three out of the last four they were there. Of course, all under head coach Eric Sweeney. New head coach Anthony Sweeney, son of former head coach Bill Sweeney,
who
coached against Ryan Palmer, who was just in here. funny how we tie all that together. We said, you know, off air. But it's still going to be Ubley football. You know, nothing's going to change. Coach Anthony is going to instill the physicality, the outwork, the toughness of Ubley football that his dad brought to Ubley in 2000. And it's really going to be the same thing. You know, nothing's going to change over there. It's just a different head coach, same philosophy, same thing about Ubley football. And you know they have the state title in the rearview mirror. They're not looking at it. And it's all about every opponent each week. And they got themselves one heck of a schedule this year. You talk about going out and challenging yourself after winning a state title. This might be one of the toughest schedules in the Thumb.
So, their schedule here, Ubley Bearcats week one has Ogama Heights. A big game that they're scheduled because they originally were supposed to have
Bad Axe
in week one. So they decided to take on Ogama Heights. Credit to the coach and the team just wanting a game to play. Let's talk about what this Ubley Bearcats brings back. And you know, the new head coach, a lot of experience, played for the team, was already part of the system. It's just the next coach in line and part of that system come up.
I got to play with Coach Anthony. He was a freshman my senior year. He got moved up to varsity.
And we called a lot of his games.
I don't want to say it was his mentor, but tutor him. We played the same position. He was one tight end. I was the other. So I like to think I helped him his freshman year. I probably didn't teach him anything he didn't know because of who his dad was and Bill and being around football his life. Let's be honest. He was probably teaching me things as a senior. Like, oh, I didn't know I could do that, you know, in this offense. So he's been around the block, of course, since he's been a wee lad, his dad coaching football. But you look at the team, they lost a lot from the state championship team, but they return a decent amount. Their main returner is going to be Luke Vollmering at halfback. They got a couple offensive linemen they're bringing back. But the big surprise is they got a sophomore quarterback they're starting in TJ Barnes. He's a heck of a baseball player. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how he does at quarterback. You know, that's going to be a big learning curve. You know, Coach Palmer talked about, you know, he's instilling a new foreign language to these kids. TJ's originally from Marlette. You know, he's been in Ubley since sixth grade, but he still hasn't been there since third grade when everybody started running the same offense. So it'll be interesting to see what he does his first year on varsity as a sophomore, what kind of trust does the coaching staff have him at quarterback, because they lost a four-year starter in Evan Peruski that, well, at that point, he's just practically a coach on the coaching staff after 4 years.
So in this league, also Harbor Beach Pirates, they're kind of like the nemesis of Ubley. Marlette Red Raiders has a lot coming back also. Great experience under Denny Lester.
Yeah, those two teams, Harbor Beach and Marlette, are the two teams in the Greater Thumb Black, is it?
Yeah.
That is going to really...
Or Big Thumb.
Yeah, Big Thumb Black, not Greater Thumb, sorry. That's going to... I don't want to say test Ubley because a lot of people view Harbor Beach as a team to beat this year. You know, Ubley graduated so much. Harbor Beach returned so much. Marlette returned so much. You know, that those two teams... They think they can be 1-2 and bump Ubley down to 3. Now, like we said, to be 1-1, you got to beat number 1, so you got to beat Ubley to get up there. But this Harbor Beach team, you know, they return probably one of the best players in the Thumb, not named Eli Bickle, who's just a man among kids at 6'6", 275. But Benson Harper, a skill player that does a little bit of everything, running the ball, throwing the ball, catching the ball. He's most dynamic as a receiver, but he can do everything. And he's really going to be a dynamic weapon for Coach Shelkey and the Harbor Beach Pirates. Really put them
I don't want to say back on the map because they never left the map since 2012 when they won their state title, but really try to propel them past Ubley in the playoffs and get back to maybe Ford Field in Division 8, because I think Division 8's wide open this year. Ithaca, New Lothrop, Whiteford, they all moved up to D7, so that really opens up D8 where this whole black division sits in the playoffs. So Harbor Beach, Marlette, Ubley, I think are kind of maybe the front runners here in D8 along with Fowler, you know, out
you
of the center of the state.
You think we're overlooking Harbor Beach a little bit here?
I really depends on where you're at in the thumb.
Yeah.
I think some people overlook Harbor Beach, and I think some people are putting Harbor Beach way out there. So it's kind of one of those things to where Harbor Beach has got all the potential in the world. Can they maximize that potential and be Ubley, or can Ubley stay on this emphatic run that they've been on? And it's not sustainable. The run Ubley's been on is not sustainable, where they've been to the semifinals 5 straight years, Ford Field 3 of the last 4, of course, and winning a state title in there. That's just impressive. This could be one of the most impressive 4 and 5 year runs. But Harbor Beach is just one of those teams that it's always, well, what if Ubley wasn't there? What if Ubley wasn't there? What would they be doing, you know, the last couple of years? Because they've had some talented squad. So I think this is the Harbor Beach team. The potential's there. They just got to get over that hump of which was been Ubley the last little bit. Then Marlette, which is year in and year out, they just go against Ubley and Harbor Beach, and then they're just kind of on the outside looking in. And you wonder if maybe this is their year because they return a lot. Yeah. Wesley Chapin returns. Trey Lester, who's a freshman last year, he returns on varsity. That's a team that's under a very well-coached Denny Lester that could make some noise here in the black too.
And I would say 1-2, and then now Sandusky, but yeah, well, they will play Marlette in week 2, utilizing the spread likely this season too, with Sandusky throwing in their spread offense. Going to add a pretty neat wrinkle to offense. Defensively, though, who do you think defensively the toughest team other than Millington in this Big Thumb Conference?
It's got to be Ubley and Harbor Beach. I really put those two as a toss-up this year. Everybody's going to, you know, whether you're from the west side of Ruth Road or the east side of Ruth Road really determines on who you're going to put in front of each other.
Yeah.
And you got to be in Huron County, of course, for people to get that reference. If you're on the Lakeshore, you're putting Harbor Beach as one, I'll say 1B to Millington. If you're in the valley in Ubley where you get no cell service, you're putting Ubley as one. Well, you're probably putting Ubley in front of Millington because you think the last couple of years you would beat them. Yeah. Millington fans think other ways. That's a discussion for a different time, because we'll never know. But it's really one of those things to where Millington, I think, is the front runner in the white, and it's a toss-up between Ubley and Harbor Beach in the black. I'm going to, not being a homer here, I'm going to say it's Ubley. I said it all on the show. To be number one, you got to beat number one, or to be the best, you got to beat the best. Until Ubley gets knocked off in conference play, they're my favorite to win the conference. Mm-hmm. Now, with that being said, I give Harbor Beach an absolute chance at winning this thing. It is about 51% to 49% between those two teams for me.
That Ogama Heights, so week 1 game, and then they'll have Harbor Beach in week 3, Everest in week 2.
Who went 9-3 last year.
So, tough schedule there. Then Marlette, Vassar, Reese, USA, Cass City.
9-3 last year.
Lost a lot, but they might surprise us.
And a new Lothrop team week 9 that went 9-2.
Yeah, that's the one. New Lothrop, man. What a schedule Ubley.
That has to be one of the toughest non-conference schedules for a Division 8 opponent. You're playing
maybe in Ubley history?
And maybe in Ubley history. Yeah. You're playing a Division 5 school in Ogama Heights that went 9-2 last year. We said beat the Division 6 state champs and runner-ups last year in the regular season. Clarkson Everest was 2 years ago, was in the semifinals last year, was lost in the regional championship game, went 9-3 last year. Then you got Harbor Beach week 3 that went 9-2. Your only two losses were to Ubley, which we always wonder, what if with Harbor Beach, if they could get past Ubley, well, this might be the year. And then week 8 and 9, Cass City again, which is year in and year out, the physicality of Cass City tests the physicality of Ubley, and it's just a bloodbath of a game. And then the first time ever, New Lothrop's coming up into Ubley to play the Bearcats rather than Ubley going to New Lothrop. And that's going to be a heck of a game, with New Lothrop being just a powerhouse school in D7, where they're back now, where last year they were in D8. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Ubley's schedule. But don't just focus on Ubley's schedule. Harbor Beach has got a tough schedule too, with playing Cardinal Mooney in week 2 and Cass City week 1. You know, very easily, these two teams, when they square off in week 3, could be 1-1.
Yeah. Like you said, Ubley in week 3 for Harbor Beach. So they start off with Cass City, Cardinal Mooney, Ubley, Vassar, USA, Marlette, then Reese, and then Lakers. And I don't know if they have a week 9 game. That was supposed to be Bad Axe, who canceled their 11 players.
I've heard a couple people want them to play Detroit Loyal. Loyola, but who knows if that's going to happen. That's just speculation from the fans.
For Marlette, week one is Manchester, then Sandusky, our week two game coverage. USA, Ubley, Reese, Harbor Beach, Vassar, Nouvelle Catholic, and Lakers end the season. Kind of tough.
Yeah, Marlette opened up with Manchester, who was Division 7 last year. They were a district champ also. Fall down to Division 8 this year. That's not an easy game for them to open up the season. Of course, the big game against Sandusky that they play every year. Now it's a non-conference game, but they're still playing them. Wrap things up. They picked up Nouvelle over Bad X. That's a good game for them to pick up, get ready for playoffs. And then week 9 against Lakers. Like I said, none of these schedules are easy for any of these opponents.
So with Reese, Unionville, Sibley, and Vassar, those three teams who are in the bottom echelon, which one is there to take maybe the next step or next stride?
I think it's got to be USA is going to take the next step. They're extremely junior heavy this year. Last year, they were really sophomore heavy. So those kids are now starting to come into fold. It's just whether can they make that jump this year or is it going to be the jump next year as they're seniors? But that's really the team that you look at on paper says, all right, this is a team that should take that next jump. This is a team that should compete with the Marlettes, the Harbor Beaches, the Ubleys, you know, this year and next year, see what they can do. And then for Reese and Vassar, it's just all about building up and getting better every week. You know, Reese was a game win away last year from making the playoffs too. So they're thinking we're right on the cusp also. So that Reese team under Coach Kerry Messing, they got a lot of potential returning Brady Benson at quarterback. And then Vassar, it's all about can you get back to the playoffs like you did in 2015 with Tyler Humpert.
Apparently, the Tigers game has been in a rain delay, so I've been letting that play sports-wise on the FM side. But we're talking high school sports here. We're coming up hot the top of the hour, and we're going to get into A-player football to wrap things up in 8 o'clock hour. That's different, too, as well. Not too different, at least, almost about the same.
It's
slightly.
It's like tomato-tomato.
Yeah, it's a slight wrinkle into who's in what divisions there, but not too much change there
at all.
Not
too much change.
Yeah. So that'll be coming up. Jonathan Bishop from the Thumbtuckers Sports Crew here. What game is week one for
I'm doing Thumbtuckers Ogemaw Sports. Heights at an Ubley at SVSU.
Ooh.
And then we are doing Channel 2 this week.
Okay.
It's going to be Nouvelle and Sandusky.
Nice.
So we wanted to see Sandusky's new offense. We figured this was the best opportunity to get it.
Yeah.
You know, at least you never know how the season folds on, but we wanted to see him. We wanted to see the new reign of Coach Palmer. So we wanted to get that on tape. So Channel 2 is going to be in Sandusky for Sandusky Nouvelle.
By the way, Channel 2, Thumbtucker to Sports, or sometimes Channel 1, is like an affiliate here on Sand Lake Broadcast when we have to. So
we could work something out, Eddie.
I don't know. We might have a Tiger game going on.
That's actually a fair point.
Yeah.
Yep.
But when
never
we do,
mind. Never mind.
When the channel's open, yeah. But it's great to have the coverage on Sandusky because a lot of curiosity with Sandusky.
Yeah, so we figured that'd be a great opportunity to see that. Then, of course, how do you not cover the Division 8 state championships opening up a season against a very good Division 5 school in Ogemaw Heights? We figured those are two marquee games. We want to go there. Of course, I like to sit back in the lurk. You know, we cover a wide area. We like to give you, Eddie, Santa Lake County first pick in. We like to give Clark and WLAW kind of their first pick in and Scotty B. Hey, you guys cover your teams because we can kind of bounce around between teams since we have a much larger area, you know, going down to the BWAC and stuff. So we try to work with everybody.
We'll be right back. A-player football talk coming up.
Shoot on into Croslex Laundry and Tanning, located at 37 Ward Street in Croswell. Feel free to throw your clothes into one of our high-efficiency washers or super hot dryers. Like our 60-pound washer, which takes 24 quarters but washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. You'll feel like you made a slam dunk when you turn your laundry day into laundry hour. Good luck, area teams from Croslex Laundry and Tanning, right next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open 7 days a week. Monday through Friday, 7 till 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Stop in and Eric, Bonnie, and Darlene will be happy to assist you.
Celebrating Graff's 110th anniversary, here's General Manager Sam Barnett and special guest Keith Barnett.
110 years in business.
That's a pretty impressive accomplishment, Sam.
110 years and still going strong. The main reason is that we're small enough to know you and big enough to serve you. Stop in and check out the savings this month. Get a loaded up Equinox Premier with heated and vented seats for only $390 a month. We have a few in stock with similar savings. Looking for a truck? How's $345 a month sound on a Silverado equipped with heated seats and a heated steering wheel? With 9,000 pounds of pulling power, we have one all-wheel drive Blazer left in stock at $381 a month. Probably the best deal we've seen in a while is the all-new Chevy Trax RS for only $268 a month, and this one is a 25. Heated seats and heated steering wheel standard on this one. We have a pretty good selection, so you better hurry. These won't last long. Enjoy up to 1.9% short-term financing on select vehicles and rates as low as 3.9% for 72 months. And for a limited time, we're offering $2,000 minimum for your trade.
The Graff family has served mid-Michigan for 110 years. For our anniversary, we're giving you the gifts at Graff Chevrolet on M46 in Sandusky.
Graff family.
Welcome back to Film Sports Line, 8 o'clock hour. I thought this was going to end around 7:30.
You were wrong.
I think it'll probably go to 8. We were trying to guess Mike Gallagher before
he left. It's going to go to about 8:30, 9 o'clock.
You think so?
We could probably punch this out here by 8:30.
All right. Our final topic, high school eight-player football. The Big Thumb Conference now, the NCTL, is no more. Man, we have been very fortunate, we talked about this, to have at least one team make it to the state semifinals in our coverage area, especially with the Thumb Tailgater Sports coverage area, but with St. Lake Broadcast, we like to keep track of those teams also, all in the Greater Thumb Conference at the time, in NCTL, and even Blue Water Area Conference, to have at least a team in the state semifinal, it seems like every year now.
Yeah, and now we can add in Millington more into the Thumb. They were always part of the Thumb, part of the TSA. Yeah. Tailgaters now really taking them on as a coverage area team with them joining the Big Thumb Conference, the newly Big Thumb Conference.
Really excited about that.
So between Ubley, Harbor Beach, Millington, and 11 player, and then you got also in the BWAC, you got Croslex has been there, North Branch, Almont recently. They've been there. And then you go to A player and you look at it, and right off the bat, you're like, well, Brown City's been here for a couple of years. They've been really good.
Yeah.
Deckerville's been one of the face names of eight player football. And then you go over there, like, yeah, Kingston's right there with Deckerville. You know, so we got some very good eight player football in Division One. Then Division Two, you look at how good North Huron's been for the years. They've been solid up there. So eight player football is just as good as 11 player football in this area. And for the you folks that say, well, it's not true football, if you go watch it, you kind of forget it's eight player football after a while.
And we just interview a coach from Sandusky who's played in the 11 player system,
coached
in the eight player football system. And by the way, there were coaches here from Michigan who knew Ryan Palmer, kind of picked his ear about the eight player game.
Yep,
and to get them prepared.
He said there's a lot of teams he would take eight player over 11 player just because of the kids and stuff like that. So it's not necessarily about how many players on the team. It's about, or on the field. It's about the team, man.
Yeah.
These kids, of course, we're all humans and stuff, but these kids really go a long ways. And sometimes the smaller groups are the fun groups. The bigger groups can have loads of fun too, and they can have loads of talent. But size of the school and team isn't really everything. It's just about what you're instilling in these kids, how they're performing. Can you get the best out of them?
A shout out to Ashley Wiener Palmer listening in. She says, great show so far, even though we're coming in here pretty blind as it is. But so far,
we're doing it the tailgater / TSA. What we said originally was a tailgater way. Now it's really just a TSA way.
Yeah.
We're winging it.
Yes. And a big shout out to the Thumb Sports Writers Association group out there, which you're overseeing the Facebook page. There's other great coverage area broadcasts out there as well. Clark Ramsey, Dave Hansen, and the crew out there for WOW Sports.
Yeah, Clark's the broadcast crews of broadcast crews. You look at him, he does everything, you know, most professional way. He's got one of the nicest setups, does a very good job. You know, we've worked with him the last couple of years, really found Ubley in the playoffs. I've asked him a lot of questions about different things, you know, so thank him for everything that he's done for me, different guidances in different
ways.
And
vice versa.
We're working together. Yeah. You got Scott Bowlesby with 92.1 and Tuscola County Advertiser.
Who we just talked to.
Earlier today. He busts his rear end over there in Tuscola County. He does great job covering them. Yep. Really brings us a lot of information about Millington with them being new to the Big Thumb Conference. And of course, here in Santa Clara County, between you and Mike, the whole county's covered. You know, we got it taken care of. Mike does such a wonderful job keeping in contact with everybody. And then, Eddie, you are just the promoter of all promoters, I'll say.
And Thumb Toe-Getters Sports, which I started, you're taking over in Channel 1, Big Game, Ubley, Ogoma Heights, Channel 2, Saginaw Vale at Sandusky. Shout out to Phil Nickel. And also
John Crager.
John Crager.
JTK.
Cody Klee coming in full time with you.
Yeah, he's coming in full time with me. We got a little bit of a spotty schedule this year on Tailgater. There will be a few weeks where we only have one channel going on just due to some prior conflicts and stuff going on. Next week is one of those weeks. We only got one channel going on. And then I think there might be two or three other weeks throughout the season.
But look at all those live broadcasts and coverage. You're still going to get plenty of football on
your TSA. Yeah,
you're
still going to get plenty of football from the TSA. You know, and all these all of us stations, we stream online.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be in your car to listen to us. Yeah. You can listen to us on your phone, your laptop, your iPad, wherever you are in the world, and listen to Thumb Football. Because this is, like Coach Palmer said, this is some of the best football that really is around, and it's something to be proud of. And we love seeing it when a team travels down to Ford Field that all these other communities come support them.
Yeah, he would send me messages when he was in Arizona. Guys, like, hey, great coverage back in the early days of TSA. So,
Eddie,
Thumb Toe Getter, yeah.
We forgot the most important person,
Paul Adams of the
Paul Hero. Adams. He did say you'd call in if he wanted to.
We could. It's up
if,
to
if
him.
If he wants to talk eight player football,
yeah.
He'll tell you eight player football. It's not what it was in Huron County.
Yeah.
And it's really in Sanilac and Tuscola County right now. But he's the guy that really started this thing, got the whole TSA going, really brought all us entities together. And now we are a bunch of, I'll call hooligans, working together.
Yes, we are. That's for sure. So Paul Adams of the Huron County View. And also we got Tom Green from the Huron Daily Tribune involved as well. Ben Miller. From...
Miller Sports Time. Chris Wilcox and Christian Selich from WIDL 92.1. They help us out a bunch.
Yeah, Christian, you're very knowledgeable where he works with the Millington football program, but his sports, but also oversees a lot of the Thumb area football.
Oversees a lot of the conference things and stuff like that. Really helps us with a lot of the behind the things, dealing with the different conferences, alignments, and you know, really with the MHSA, how they're doing things.
And by the way, Quaden. With the pitchers out there, Jason Parmenter out there.
Yeah. Huge shout out to Jason Parmenter also. The TSA Player of the Weeks, all the photos you see us use are via him. So if you love the photos, go to his website, Quad End Productions. He'll get you taken care of. He does great jobs with team photos. He does great with senior pictures, great with athletic photos. So if you need something done, hit him up. Really, if you need anything media/sports related, just contact the TSA. We'll help you out.
And I got to make a shout out to Libby the intern, who is, I think, a little definitely afraid to come on the mic when it comes to a football game this week. We'll see.
I got you. Have her do your stat keeper that I made.
Well, I talked about that, but Mrs. Fury.
She wants to come to games with you?
She misses Mr. Fury.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
She might do it. She goes, you need to show me. I say, ooh, this would be awesome to have Mrs. Fury with me.
I'm trying to convince Ashley to come with us Tuesday because I upped it a little bit. Now we got to test the waters.
You're at her old stomping grounds now at SVSU.
You know, in the group chat earlier, I'm like, hey, what's SVSU's press box? She's like, you'll have plenty of room. It's fine. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. We have connections there.
All right. So enough of that promotion. Enough of that kissing our own rear ends. Eight-player football. Look at this Big Thumb 8-player conference. Red Division has Akron Fairgrove Vikings, the Ashley Bears, Bay City All-State Cougars.
No, that's not our Ashley.
Oh, no, not our, Ashley Bears, Bay City All-State Cougars, Carsonville Port St. Lake Tigers, Caseville Eagles, North Heron Warriors, New Haven Merritt Mustangs, and the Peck Pirates. That is the Big Thumb 8-player conference Red Division. Who do you think?
Right now, it's Bay City All Saints.
You think so? Because they do have a big returner coming back.
Yeah, they got
Bo Williams.
Oh man, they're returning about every star player that they had last year.
Yeah,
they're Division I this year. They're the only Division I school that's in the Red Division. Right, this is the Red Division.
This would be the Red Division.
The Red Division. Yeah. They're only Division I school in the Red Division. So really, it's Bay City All Saints. Then I think it's kind of the rest of the pack. North Huron, historically, they're usually pretty good. They're well coached by Chad Knobloch. Peck's under its third coach in 3 years now. So you wonder what Peck's going to bring this year. We don't know a whole lot about New Merritt Academy and Ashley, as they're well a ways out of the area. Akron Fairgrove graduated a very talent class, losing Gatlin Guild and Isaac Squires on that class. So I think it's really Bay City All Saints and then everybody else, North Huron should be up there. And Dryden. Dryden's bringing back eight-player football in the blue division for the first time.
Are they? Oh, yeah.
They're in the blue.
Are they in the blue?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, okay.
I was trying to lead you on to the blue.
Speaking of blue, our week one game of the week will feature a state semifinalist. The Deckerville Eagles hosting the Bay City All Saints Cougars, which makes that game a little interesting here because they're going to be in the same division. You alluded to the fact at the top.
Very good chance it could be in the same regional because a player doesn't have district. It could be in the same regional. This is could be a preview to a regional championship between All Saints and Deckerville. And folks in Sandlot County, you're not going to hear this, but you're going to have your hands full week one with Bay City All Saints. They are a very good team. They are very talented.
Flashy.
Very flashy. They can get things done. This could be a high-scoring game here in week one. You got Hunter Garza returning. You got all the weapons returning. Deckerville is going to be a fun team to watch. And, Eddie, you're going to love – this is going to get you back into football this year, week one.
I am. We're all going to be pretty rusty. But yeah, this is an exciting game to start off and get you back into play-by-play call shape. It's been a while since Deckerville played All Saints also as well, I think, and I'm looking back here.
It might be back when it was Greater Thumb Conference and they were both 11-player.
I remember that game. Back in 2017, 8-player football, 42-6 was the win for Deckerville.
Okay.
Back in 2017, so it's been a while.
Yeah, 7 years.
So we're hoping for a good matchup here. It would be at Deckerville, 6:30 p.m. on WBGV 92.5 FM. Our games are all on WBGV 92.5 FM since I started here and streaming online as well. Now, Deckerville state semifinalists, they took on a very tough Adrian Lanaway Christian team, losing 42-14 in the state semifinals. But Deckerville able to make these playoffs here since 2012. Been in the playoffs, and then
since they've joined 8-player football,
yeah, but they missed a year in 2011, and then
that they were 11-player in 2011.
Was
still.
It? Well, yeah, and then their first year in 8-player football won a state title. So, but they've been to the state semifinals back and forth in the regional games as well. They have a lot returning this year, but they do have week one schedule: All Saints, then Dryden. Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian, who seem to really give teams a lot of trouble, despite their 4-5.
Give them fits. They give everybody fits.
Despite their 4-5 record last year, 2 years ago they were 8-2, or 3 years ago. And then Deckerville has Brown City. Now, Brown City can't qualify the playoffs, but they're good enough to win a league title.
They're good enough to win a league title, and two.
Now,
this
I was going to do
a great opponent for Deckerville to face in the regular season.
I was going to do the week four game with Marlette at Ubley, but seeing that there is already some media coverage on that, I think I'm going to sneak over and see that Deckerville Brown City game. So, yeah.
Who's doing week four?
I think Clark is, yeah. I might have to look.
I'm going to fact check you on that. I don't think he is.
You don't think he is? I thought he was. So that's what they have in week four with the Brown City Green Devils. For the Deckerville Eagles, that's in week four.
Oh, he might be because Baddox dropped their schedule.
Right.
I forgot about that.
But then Mayville Wildcats is in week five. Then Memphis Kingston is an opponent for Deckerville to look out for. K-Pack and Alcona as well. Now, Kingston's a team that made it to the state semifinal game last year, lose to Martin. But Kingston, can they make some noise this year? They do lose some players, but they still got some good players we had talked to.
Obviously they lose Owen Corliss, TSA Player of the Year. But that's another school that just seems to reload. We mentioned Tanner James, Colin Corliss, Austin DeRusso's coming out for football for the first time. Coach Jones will get them squared away. They'll be right up there with the Brown Cities and the Deckervilles.
Yeah, back to Deckerville. Quarterback Hunter Garza coming back. David Shanks, Ian Flanagan, Logan Martin, and Garza rushing Dylan Ball. Great offense last year.
It's going to be interesting to see how Coach Brown replaces Dylan Ball in the backfield. That guy was an absolute workhorse. He was fun to watch. Talking to Mike Gallagher earlier, he said it's kind of going to be running back by committee, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put my stamp on this and say by the end of the year, I think there's going to be one guy that's going to be the workhorse for Bill Brown. I think that might be a guy that we saw last year as a freshman really stand out, and that could be Brandon Solowitz. I think he could be a guy that could really step into that role. He's a tough guy. He played linebacker for them last year, so you know what he likes to be in the middle of the action. I think he could be a solid running back for them. He was one of the guys part of the committee along with Mark Donker. You're going to hear him in there, but I think Solowitz has really got a chance to grab that role and
run
with it.
He's grown within a year here.
Yeah.
Jonathan. He's I just saw him at Wayne's Auto. I was like, whoa, you grew?
He's finally taller than you, Eddie.
He is. He's taller than his dad right now. He was even stronger. He's lifting these tractor tires at the auto shop. Great defender. They had him on there, but now he's coming into the offense even more so. But Hunter Garza, man, 1,500-plus passing yards. Also, 1,300-plus rushing yards. Scoring another 15.
You
got
to believe he's the favorite to win the player of the year this year in eight-player football in the
TSA. Well, balanced offense, yeah.
He does a little bit of everything. He can throw it. He can run it. He is going to be the X factor for Deckerville this year. We saw him last year. It was against Portland St. Patrick. Yeah. They took away Dylan Ball, and he had himself a day. So he can do a little bit of everything. He can throw it. He can pass it. You won't see him on defense. Coach Brown really this last year went with we're going to keep our guys fresh. We're going to have defense play defense, offense play offense. When you're eight player and you got 25, 30 kids on the team, you're able to do that, and that really becomes an advantage, you know, when you get later in the season.
So back to the Green Devils. You got these freshmen, Ryan Binkley-Potts when they first started, Brian Mulholland, Ethan Worrell, Briar Halbert were freshmen when they were playing on Brown City's last 11-player team. Now they're seniors in their third year of eight-player football.
Add in this guy by the name of Cooper Lawson. Yep. That's I believe, a junior this year. He was a sophomore. He was a freshman last year, wasn't he?
He started as a freshman, I think.
Yeah. So this Brown City team is going to be dynamic. Yeah. They return a lot. Their big loss is Connor Vandenberg.
Yep.
But other than that, Brown City is going to be so tough. Yeah, they don't qualify for the playoffs. Everybody goes, why don't you go back to 11-player? Well, in 2 years, they're going to be eligible for eight-player playoffs again.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things, why keep making the jump back and forth when you're going to be there again? That's going to be a team that I think for Kingston and Deckerville, the teams that do qualify for the playoffs, is such a good opponent, even if you lose, just to learn from, because they've been so good since they've been eight-player football.
And they had that unique offense, balanced offense as well, where 1,000 yards passing, 13 touchdowns. Lawson Cooper can run also over 900-plus yards, 17 touchdowns. That's just him. That does not include the other contributors to offense. I'm passing and rushing here for the Brown City Green Devils as well. So it's going to be another exciting year. Do we have a team that can make it back to a state semifinal, whether you're 8-player or 11-player?
I think we got
player?
4 or 5 teams that could potentially
really?
Do
that
it.
Many?
Yep, I'll go out and say it. Deckerville or Kingston will be in a semifinal for 8-player. That'll give us one there. And then 11-player, I think we got 4, maybe 5 teams. 5 might be a stretch. 4 teams for sure that could make it. Almont and Ubley, obviously they're the reigning Division 8 champs and Division 6 runner-up, so you got to think they're a favorite to get back to the semifinals. Millington, who was just there last year, lost to the state champs to Jackson Lumen Christie, who's now D6. And then Harbor Beach, they're the team, if they can get past Ubley, they can make a run. You know, really, I hate to see this, but man, Ubley Harbor Beach, why do you guys play in the districts every year? We'd love to see that as a semifinal game. MHSAA, we want that fixed.
Split it up.
It's not going to happen, but that's such a state championship caliber game that one of those 4 teams could be there. And I'm still really high on North Branch, along with Scott Bowlesby of the Tuscola County Advertiser.
Yeah.
I think that's a team that could really surprise a lot of people in Division 4. They got Eli Bickle that's going to lead the offensive line. They're returning a lot of athletes in Braden Robinson, Jaden Hutchinson. He mentioned Mikey Gorman could potentially break a school record for rushing touchdowns in a season. They just got weapons galore. It'll be interesting to see what they do under second-year head coach Chris Soroka, but they're my sleeper team that could make it to the semifinals, but I think out of the 4, we'll have at least 2, if not 3, between Millington, Ubley, Harbor Beach, and Almont.
All right, and again, harkening back to Big Thumb 8-player conference and Red Division, you have the Vikings, Ashley, All Saints, CPS Tigers. Maybe they'll make more great strides under their second-year head coach.
Yeah, really, you look at CPS, Caseville's probably in the same boat.
Look at North Huron.
Peck's in the same boat. Yep. I think it's all about improvement every week, getting better. North Huron, they got some athletes. They could make some noise. They're going to have a tough schedule with All Saints in there, though. But for CPS, yeah, it's about improvement. I know their second-year head coach, I can't remember his name, but he's looking forward to this season. I think they're going to be better. So it'll be interesting to see what all these other 8-player teams do. But it's really Bay City All Saints in that one, and then everybody else is just about being competitive.
Mark Beamish,
yes. Yeah, I read Mike's article last week about it, but I could not remember his name.
Great article, by the way. So, we hope that we like a competitive league. You know,
yeah.
We've had a privilege of But for eight-player profile, we like to see it, at least in this division. New Haven Merritt Mustangs is another team to look out for in that division as well. 4-4 last year, not bad. They can really give teams fits.
So one thing I want to point out, the blue division lost Burton Atherton.
Yeah.
They have dropped back. They've moved back up to 11-player, along with Genesee, who was in it 4 years ago. They've picked up Memphis this year in the 11-player. So Memphis and KPAC, two former Greater Thumb East schools, along with Brown City, are now half of the Big Thumb Blue Division.
Yeah. So that's an interesting wrinkle as well. And again, it's the Big Thumb Conference now, and we'll just see what happens. We never know because we really don't know.
Update from Mike Gallagher.
Okay.
Peck sweeps Marlette in volleyball.
That's a big win for Peck Pirates.
Yes, it is.
Glad he made it.
Yeah, he made it there, got us the coverage.
For volleyball.
There's our volleyball update at the end of the night.
Wow, fantastic. All right. Well, we'll see you after week one coverage, folks. Our game of the week here on WBGV 92.5 FM. We've got the Bay City All Saints at the Decorable Eagles, a state semifinalist from last year. We might see one of these teams maybe make it a good run in the playoffs unless they meet each other.
Yeah, it's going to be a great year of football. Yeah. I'm excited, as always. Eddie, you think I'm crazy because I go bonanza over this, and you're just like, can we get the season over with?
I don't feel it until after I'm at the week one game, I think.
Oh, I'm ready to rock and roll. I have not slept for 2 weeks since I've known we were
doing
this.
I don't think you slept since Ubley won the state title.
Yeah, I did not get much sleep that night.
So, yeah, you celebrated, and I was very surprised. I'm happy you did. So, yeah. All right, thank you for tuning in to Sportsline. Thank you, Jonathan, for coming in and helping out.
Yeah, anytime I'm free, I will try to make it down here. If not, I'll call in whenever you need me.
Don't forget Mayville Wildcats in that big thumb.
Hey, that's a sleeper team right there in
for
the
Blue Division.
The Blue Division.
Yeah, so a lot of good teams in that.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough. Thank you for tuning in to the Thumb Sports Line next week, Tuesday, 5:30 p.m. every Tuesday. And, of course, week one game. Tune into our favorite stations and, of course, in our coverage area in the TSA. That's the Thumb Sports Writers Association coverage-wise. A lot of great games out there in week one. Thank you for tuning in to Sportsline. Week one is here coming up Thursday, folks. High school football and fall sports is back. Thank you for tuning in on WMIC Thumb Sportsline.